looking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Check out your dispatches. In just a moment, a story that's definitely worth telling, though, from the Bahamas trip, where we all got called out, in particular Sabrina, I think, just because of the way this thing landed, but everybody got called out about as hard as you possibly can. We are all sitting at the bar. There's only like a handful of places on this whole island in Hopetown in the Bahamas. And one of them is the spot where I was staying, where we ended up hanging out a lot because the food was really good there, actually. I was so surprised at how decent the food was, especially compared to the rest of the island.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best ronting on the island for sure.
I don't know. I was pretty happy with the ronting we did on the beach.
The
floating restaurant.
The food boat?
Oh, yeah.
The food boat was pretty cool looking, too. I didn't get to go to that, but the food at the place we were at, which is Hopetown Inn, I believe, is great. Abaco Inn, that's what it's called. It's the Abaco Island chain. So the Abaco Inn had some great food, and we're hanging out there a lot, having some real cool frozen drinks and just kind of enjoying things. You keep wondering, you say, do I still order a Bahama Mama or a Bahama Breeze?
It just a Mama and a Breeze?
Because here we are in the Bahamas. Are we like being redundant?
I don't know, but I know that I drank enough to make another Bahamian Island out of the amount of Bahama Breezes I threw down my gullet.
I don't normally switch it up, but those were delicious, and something about being refreshed, drinking those things. I don't care how much they cost a piece. They were awesome. But yeah, you wonder, it's like going to Texas and asking for Texas barbecue. You just want barbecue. So we're hanging out at this bar, having breakfast and stuff, and all of us are there. And we had gone to, the night before, a singers and songwriters event. That's the whole thing that happens down there this time of year in the Bahamas.
Right.
All these people who write all the famous songs you hear on the radio, not the performers, the writers, they go out to this island and there's a huge performance and it's really cool. It's getting bigger and bigger by the year.
Yeah, this was year six. It's called Songwriters in Paradise, or SIP Hopetown. And it was a lot this time was a bunch of people from Nashville, a lot of country singers.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And there was, I believe, a singer from, was it R.E.M.?
Yep,
and
somebody from R.E.M.
Blowfish from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, somebody from Hootie and the Blowfish, or the person who wrote one of their big songs.
I Only Want to Be With You.
Yeah, that's, and you would hear stuff like that. You'd hear them start playing the guitar and they'd go, oh my God, singers and songwriters, just like VH1.
Oh, buddy.
Everything had the longest story.
And one strum as a toe.
It was like
and then another strum while I say something else.
Noodle it on the guitar, and then, it was about 15 years ago when I wrote this song.
You'd never believe it. Hopetown one time.
They keep going with this, and the guy wrote that and played that, and you'd hear a Hootie and the Blowfish song by the guy who created it. You hear that kind of stuff. And there was one singer who I had not heard of before, but it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. And as soon as we heard him play a particular song, we all, you know, I personally fell in love with it. I was singing with him.
Oh, it was catchy.
Immediately that I wanted to download it.
What's the name of the song?
White Girls, White Wine, and Adderall.
White Girls, White Wine, or Black Girls?
I thought it was Black Girls at first because he's got this country twang that it could be either when you hear it.
It's one of those songs where you may have never seen the band before, but you kind of know where it's going, and you could be singing along the first time you've ever seen them, and what everybody was actually doing.
There were a couple songs like that. I swear the whole ride home I kept singing the What Don't Tequila Make You Stronger.
Uh-huh.
And that was the cheesiest song, but it was good.
All right, bring it up.
Blue eyes bouncing off the wall. White girls, white wine, and Adderall.
It's a good little song. It was catchy.
100%.
People were so into it.
Wait, we talked over the part in question there. There's the... They get a little excited in the song.
Oh, right here. Yeah, this is important. All right, people cheering in the background. So the next day, after watching that and enjoying it at the Firefly Resort in the Bahamas, we go to the bar, and we're all sitting there. And Sabrina, because there wasn't any music on at the bar, put like some Bahamas music on her phone and then ends up bringing up this Tyler Reeve song that we were just playing there.
Yeah.
And some of his other stuff, too. And we're playing it and we're talking about it.
We're singing. And as you could hear in the song, you know, there's people singing and laughing. And right in the middle, there's a part where he's like, ha, ha, ha. And so what I did, I was like, I put in that laughter to sound like it was live. And all of a sudden, from Sean's left, we hear, it was recorded live. And sure enough, there's Tyler Reeve sitting directly next to us.
He goes, that was recorded live. And before we could say, well, how do you know? He was like, I recorded it.
I'm Tyler Reeve.
I didn't even need to the confirmation. As soon as he said it, I went, that is, of course, what would happen to Sabrina.
Always.
We're in the smallest paradise in the world. Of course, the artists are going to be eating breakfast right next to us. Why would we not think?
And he's not with a group of friends. He's by himself.
By himself, and I'm sure he heard his song a minute and a half, and he's like, man, those people really dug it, huh? Look at him. I'm getting a little bit of royalties. Yeah. And there I am just ripping it apart right next to him. And instead of being like, make up for it, I just started projectile word vomiting and digging myself deeper and deeper into the Hopetown hole.
And the worst part is, it's not like we didn't like it. We were just kind of teasing it to have fun. But it probably, now there's no way to convince the guy like, hey, man, we were just kidding.
Now you sound phony. If you go, by the way, love the whole album, man.
Four copies last night.
Yeah, you can't. You just sound like you're faking it if you get out that way. But I started thinking immediately. I said, oh, my God, he's been there for a while.
Sean just crapped all over the Tequila song.
Do you have that song?
I couldn't find it.
Oh, man.
As it turns out, it's hard to interpret the spelling of what don't tequila make you stronger. But right. I'm working on it.
That guy, the same guy, wrote this song, and it was the most token tequila song ever. And so I'm going, it's like the record label reached out and said, hey, just give us a song about tequila. And he pulled out every trope you possibly could. And I said, catchy, but blah, blah, blah.
The bridge to the song was one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, more.
Right.
Five tequila, six tequila, seven tequila, four. And I'm like, I have seen so many t-shirts with that exact phrase on.
And I'm just thinking, what other things did I just talk smack about right next to this guy?
And you could tell everybody else was thinking the same thing because it was just silent afterwards.
You hear the guy, Tyler Reeve, you hear his fork hitting his plate as he's the last one eating.
And I'm just like, I need to buy him his entire breakfast for the entire stay here. And I tried to explain, like, I'm an asshole from Florida. Nice to meet you. He's like, oh, I'm going to be there actually in May over in Orlando. I'm like, well, I'll buy you a drink then. And everyone's like, can't buy him a drink now, Sabrina? So I just really made everything worse quickly.
It was very awkward. Did you find it, Celine?
I can't find it. I think some of those are probably not released yet, but I'll be on the hunt for it because it was a damn good song.
Yeah, well, big apologies to Tyler Reeve.
I'll see you in May.
I did like your stuff, and it was very unfortunate. You don't think that the person who wrote the song is right next to you.
So, can we book him on the show and see if he recognizes us?
You think he would?
I don't think he would, but I think, as soon as we bring up the story,
We got to book him on the show and then go, have you ever had anybody like where you ran into them after they heard your song? Like, feed him in to get him to dump all over us?
And then
we'll go, yeah, that's a true story. We know because it was us.
Ha ha. Now get out of a studio.
That's the only way to get the revenge and even the playing field here, because he caught us and called us out ultimately. Now we get him to talk trash about us on the show and call him out.
Yeah, but doesn't he deserve to talk trash about us a little bit?
That doesn't matter.
That's the reason.
It inspired a part two to the song, like a whack girl with her foot in her mouth.
I don't know what he's going to do, but we got to get him here in this studio and try to make that happen. When did he say what it was?
May.
All right, see if you can find that out and secretively book him. And we won't say anything about it, and then we'll try to get him in a trap where we redeem ourselves. It's our redemption moment
with
there.
Traps.
Let's get to some dispatches. Here is Potts Legal up here with a dispatch.
I just want to say, what's up, News Junkies?
Hey.
It's Potts Legal up here. I have a twerking Tuesday, bitches. Woo! Woo!
Oh, God. Shake it, shake it, shake it now, shake it. All right, I don't know how the rest of that song goes. There we go. Thank you, Potts Legal, up here. Enjoy your Tuesday. Over to ex-soldier.
Morning, Sean, Sabrina, and Celine. I didn't know if you guys were going to be here today, being that you were in the Bahamas over the weekend, or didn't know how long you were going to be there for, and also hearing about how you got out there. And I just wanted to bring up, I listen to secret shows. I'm not going to give anything away, but that's the happiest I've heard you guys on any broadcast or anything in a while. I'm glad you guys had fun. Just want to bring that up. Have a good week. Dark Soldier out.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah. Bit of a one-up moment.
Very happy.
Here's John Coop.
Hey, guys, what's up? I'd signed up for the Secret Show a couple weeks ago. I still haven't received my bumper sticker.
Oh, good.
I was just wondering what's up. I'd heard you say during this week's show that everyone should have them by the end of the week or
right.
so.
Right. Yes, you should.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're probably in the next batch, John Coop. But email me anyway, secretshows@thenewsjunkie.com. Over to Travis.
Good morning, News Junkies, and welcome back to the good old United States. Very glad to have you guys back. Glad to hear all your stories. I'm sure they will be hilarious and embarrassing and awkward, as per usual. And I also just wanted to let you guys know that the tank playground place that you guys talked about a good while ago out in Melbourne, Florida,
oh, yeah.
is open. I've driven past it several times on my way to work, and I definitely want to go check that thing out because I've seen them with some tanks out there.
Oh, that sounds
and
fun.
It looks pretty damn cool.
Hey,
Sean, where's the Enchilada Riots podcast? I want to hear.
You got, if you're a Secret Show subscriber, you got enough of that. You don't need any more of that.
Tank Playground. I mean, I'm sure you're going to be maybe interested in some radio advertising. Call us. We'll talk. I want to go play with tanks.
Yeah, send an email over tips@thenewsjunkie.com. That could be a fun thing we could set up. Let's go to, I forgot about the bet I had with Billy. Right what? Before we left, remember Billy called in the boxing match that was this weekend?
I forgot you bet him.
What I put on the line, $5, I think? Oh, no. All right, hopefully I won this. Hey, Billy, are you there?
Hey, welcome back, you guys.
Thank you.
You owe me $10. He won. TKO in the sixth round.
Oh, really? Oh, good for him. So what was this, your nephew?
Yeah, he's supposed to be calling you guys. I don't know when, but he's supposed to be calling you.
Oh, cool. All right, so you went out there, you got to see him win right there in person?
Yeah. You know what the whole highlight used to be?
Yeah.
Okay, it was in the same place.
Okay, all right. Well, here's the problem with Billy. Billy has, like, old-school technology. He's not necessarily up on things. I'm sure you don't have a Venmo account I could send money to.
Huh?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
You have a PayPal, Billy?
Yeah.
I got a new phone. What are you talking about?
I think maybe just a traveler's check.
Yeah, this is going to be hard. All right, Billy, hang on tight, all right? C-Lane's going to have to get your address from you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's put Billy on hold there. All right. Good for him. He won. I lost the bet. That's fine. Understanding of that. Thank you, Billy, for calling. Glad to hear that he was successful in his boxing match. And I'll send over. I thought I said $5. Did I say $10? Damn it, man.
I wasn't here for that. So
go back and get angry at Thursday, Sean, for making that particular bet. The next big story that is shaping up right now is the students at the Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Now, this is the place where this shooting was. It left 17 students and staff dead. It was an incredibly dramatic incident, and some of these students immediately afterwards started speaking with the media. And there's a couple in particular that have been popping up all over the place, on CNN, on MSNBC, on the major broadcast networks that have been planning a bunch of events. And this is going to be pushed along and publicized heavily as it happens. So what kind of stuff is going to happen next? So I guess CNN right now is counting down to something where they're going to talk to these students. And this says the students of Stoneman Douglas demand action at CNN town hall stand up. Also, on March 14th, there is a national school walkout at 10 a.m. in every time zone. Organizers are encouraging teachers, students, administrators, parents, and allies to walk out for 17 minutes, 1 minute for every person killed at Stoneman Douglas High School. So that, I imagine, will be a big thing for multiple reasons. One, and I'm sorry if this is cynical, kids are always looking for a reason to walk out of school. When they have a good one, they're going to take advantage of it. And so what do you have there? You have aerial visuals that are incredibly powerful of these students who are demanding action on gun control and demanding safer schools. You have all the local affiliates that will put a chopper above that. They'll send that over to the national affiliates. It'll be a major story that undoubtedly dominates the day. The group behind that is actually the people from the Women's March, so some politics gets entwined with things there. And then over to March 24th, where they do something called March for Our Lives. That is going to be a march on Washington, D.C. This is the one that these students from this school are heavily promoting. And the idea is to go down there. From what I'm hearing already, there's going to be a bunch of celebrities who are out there, perhaps some live musical performances and that kind of stuff, and just a big event on the Capitol to keep the story pushed into March. And then there's a national high school walkout, which I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but it was planned for 420, April 20th, when this is going to be going down. And so that's an additional thing that they have going on. I imagine the first school walkout is going to be the bigger one because it's a national school walkout for everybody and not just high schools. Marches, rallies, all of that stuff. And I'm going to guess that the March for Our Lives thing probably has satellite rallies in different cities where people will be showing up. And these kids will be featured prominently. Some of the kids are already going way out there. I mean, blood on your hands with this and that. And people are embracing the hell out of it. And I think there's an issue here. I mean, these kids are the perfect front for change in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But in another way, people don't question or qualify anything that they said because they've been victims of this senseless and horrible tragedy. And so even if they come out and say things that are just obviously incorrect or have no connection to the truth or are way out there in terms of what the demands actually are, nobody wants to be the person that goes, hey, hold on, let's correct the record here. And some of that has already happened. I think it's important to let these kids speak, right? This could be a huge moment for this country. But don't just let falsehoods float out there. Don't let the extremists control this conversation. That's the worst thing that can happen in this situation. That we have a moment where some stuff can finally get done. And I have some concrete ideas on what could be done there. Some really simplistic, logical stuff. And I think most people can agree on. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But that is kind of where things are right now and where we stand. What happens next is going to be a major news story, no doubt about that. But where does it go after the news story? Does it end up with legislation? Do we end up with people who are not pissed off about everything that's going on? All that is next.
We'll see. One of them's on 420. I believe that's the same day as Columbine.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember actually having a bomb threat at my school 2 days in a row. It was 419 and 420. And the 19th, I think, is Oklahoma City bombing,
yeah,
if I'm not correct. And one of them's Hitler's birthday.
I thought 420 was. And Columbine and Hitler's birthday. And obviously Columbine being a legitimate reason to celebrate it other than 420. Or not celebrate it, rather, but go out there and make their opinions known. So a lot going on there. A lot of thoughts on this. I'll get deeper into it a little bit later on. But there's so many stories to get to. And a big change coming, possibly, at Orlando International Airport. What the hell's going on over there? The details on the way. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. The News Junkie is on. The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day. The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the News Junkie for a Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Lots to get to today. From the student-led push against gun violence to what happens when the Yellowstone supervolcano erupts and more Olympics wardrobe malfunctions. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
Welcome back, everybody.
Goodness Hello. Gracious.
Holy cow, so many things to tell you about. We barely made it back alive from the Bahamas.
Oh, we, my ass.
Well, I mean, I barely made it to the Bahamas and then made it back just fine in comfort and speed and... no real issues, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it didn't go the same for you, but we'll get to that in a second. That's why we're out on Friday. And, of course, yesterday for the show, just kind of getting a little breather, And now, don't worry, don't fret. I get a lot of emails if we're out for even just one day. People losing their minds.
Why? What do you mean?
I just say, where are you? What's happening? I can't get through my work day. Everything's going to be okay. We got a long stretch here of live and brand new shows just for you. But every once in a while, it's good to go get some stories.
Oh, yes.
You got to go out there and collect some things, bring them back like the tokens to share with you.
And do we have a lot of tokens?
My good God. So we were all supposed to go out after the show on Thursday of last week. And the plan was Sabrina was going to fly out with a couple of people. And then they were going to go over to the Bahamas. It's this place called Hope Town. Beautiful, beautiful place. And then afterwards, C-Lane and I and our significant others were going to pile on to a plane about 5 o'clock or so.
Right.
And we were going to make our way over there, have a couple of days of fun in the sun, drinking.
Relaxation.
Yeah, relaxing, just enjoying life. And then we saw the plane, which was not necessarily the plane anybody was expecting or looking for, I don't think.
We thought last time's plane was small.
Yeah.
Well, it was. That was small. This was smaller.
I would only consider it a plane because it was able to get in the air and it has wings. But if you were to ask me at first, I'd say, oh, that's a tiny car from the 80s, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is so tiny, and you got to get jam-packed in this thing. And so finally, after the plane not starting, after all this stuff going on, and Sabrina, you went inside. The little private airport, Orlando Executive, they treat you right in there,
yeah,
man.
It's not bad. Fresh cookies, some water with fruit in it, and they allow you to pop champagne when you're waiting for a couple hours.
You need something when you're waiting that long. The plane doesn't want to start. Finally, you guys get up there, get in the air. Now, mind you, C-Lane and I are supposed to take off at 5 o'clock. I don't even think you got into the Bahamas until 5 o'clock.
Yes, it was. We looked at our watches and realized this was probably going to be a bit of a delay. And then once we get in, our nice driver, Kay, with the Soul Train, had taken us to the liquor store, and we got our first taste at very expensive beer.
Oh, your cab driver took you to the liquor store?
Yes, but that was fine. You know, we had ourselves prepared. We got to the ferry stop, and then we waved the very last ferry goodbye.
Oh, I was pulling away as you got there.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, I have a double hammock that we could all, like, take turns sleeping in because it looks like we're abandoned. But then we took your private charter because you guys weren't going to make it in time.
It's okay. We weren't going to be able to use that because we were just at the bar drinking and waiting for the flight, which kept getting delayed a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until even the next day when we got there. You got to realize how hard it is to get to this place. You have to take a little puddle jumper plane. You got to fly all the way over. It's not a short little trek to the Bahamas. And in the tiny little plane that can't go that high and can't go that fast, it takes like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Then you land at the tiny little Marsh Harbor Airport. Then you have to get a cab to go to a ferry to take you to a place where you need a golf cart. It's unbelievable.
It's a whole thing.
The journey that it takes to get over there. So C-Lane and I, after being delayed and delayed and delayed, what time do we leave on Friday?
Actually, as it turns out, exactly 24 hours after they took off, we took off.
So about 2 o'clock or something.
2:38.
2:30 on Friday. We all finally got together on a Friday night. So it took that long to even get to that point. And when we get there, the whole island and chain of islands is without power. Something blew up at the power plant.
Yeah, and they had to strategically give each island 2 hours of power and then 22 hours off of power, mm-hmm. just keep switching it. I mean, it kind of worked out that we were in a place that had generators, but there was a moment there where we were in pitch black darkness because there's no street lights, and you could see every single star in the sky.
And the damn generators go off all the time. I'm not trying to say this was miserable. It was a great time. It was fun. It's paradise. Mm. But there was a lot of weird things when we got there. And of course, now we're talking about doing a show for Monday, which would have been yesterday, obviously. And with no power, so impossible to even pull that off.
A bit SOL.
And so if you want to hear the stories about what happened actually while we were on the island and some of the other stuff that we can't necessarily say here, perfect time to go to GetSecretShows.com, sign up and listen over there.
100%.
But we ended up heading back, I guess late Sunday, and I flew out on a normal size plane.
Yeah, definitely bigger. I would say a little sturdier. You had more than three people alongside with you, right?
Yeah, there was a handful of people on the plane. That sucker went up to like 22,000 feet.
You guys were 22,000?
We were way up there.
Oh, wow.
And it took like an hour or something, so it was a breeze. And I keep looking, and I'm like, oh, we've got to try to get something ready for tomorrow. You guys didn't get in for a while.
No, we got in a little later Sunday, but oh my God, am I thankful we did, because there was a moment there that all of us thought we were going to die, 1,000%.
There was a moment there when three of us thought we were going to die.
You didn't think you were going to die?
Okay, because the panic was on his face, but if you want to go ahead and deny it, no problem.
You couldn't even see my face.
We lift up. I was sitting in the cockpit next to Captain Lovelace.
Looking down as you take off at Aaliyah's crashed plane.
That is correct. And we hit some turbulence. And all of a sudden, this is ringing throughout the entire tiny cabin. And I am not getting any sort of visual from Captain next to me. I turn around and there is just sheer terror on my face that I've now transferred to the other two gals. Biscuit Babe is like, is everything okay? And I'm like, I don't know. All she saw was no, so she thinks that we are now dying. And it just keeps going on.
That's
and he's
it?
Not saying anything. And I'm like, this, we're going down. I can't even say bye to my mom. There's no internet connection here. This is how it all ends. Turns out, when you go off of autopilot, it makes that scary noise.
Oh, I didn't hear it the other time.
But, neither did we. It was a different plane.
You must have, you sat up front for when we flew into Marsh Harbor. I heard that noise a couple times.
I don't remember hearing that. And I know this, when we found out when you guys were about to leave, people were looking at the plane that we posted up on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. It's on all those if you want to see
Facebook,
it. It's up there.
Instagram, Twitter, y'all see this?
If you want to see the plane that we flew to the Bahamas on, it's tiny. But you guys were on an even smaller one, I guess.
Very.
A little bit different, or something's different about it. So eventually you got out of that and it stopped beeping?
It would beep every once in a while, but it wasn't until I was able to release my grasp from the chair that I asked him, hey,
you
I took a little poo-poo.
You could say it that way. The pilot that we had, Lovelace is the guy's name, or Loveless, depending on how you want to say it. I like Loveless better. Yeah. He was a little willy-nilly about things. You know, he almost got in some trouble.
He was very...
customs.
He almost got in some trouble in customs in America and in Marsh Harbor.
Uh-huh. He doesn't like customs. He likes flying. He doesn't like the rigmarole of the airport.
He doesn't like filing paperwork.
No.
And so I guess they threatened to arrest him in the Bahamas.
Did they? Yeah, yeah.
Because he didn't do one of the steps when he had stopped there and went through and then came to get us. And then when he was taking us home and we had to stop and go through customs in Fort Lauderdale, he had brought a different, somehow older and smaller plane.
Scarier.
And
significantly scarier.
The registration was expired.
Oh! Yeah, I mean, you might want to pay attention
customs
to those.
Customs did not appreciate
He was one of those guys who I told him, I was like, look, I have a lot of anxiety about flying. I'm not a big fan of this. And he calmed me down for a while. He showed me how all the stuff works in front of me because I, too, was sitting in the co-pilot seat on the way over to the Bahamas. And I'm kind of enjoying that. But then he would say things that would just make you really uncomfortable and then give you no additional information. Mm-hmm. Like when we were about to land in Marsh Harbor, I don't think Sealand heard this. He's sitting there and he's about to get ready. And he goes, oh, and I go, everything okay? Because I can talk to him. I mean, it's so loud in the airplane, you can't hear anything.
Right.
But on the headsets, you can talk to each other. And he goes, oh, I go, everything okay? And he goes, coming in too hard and too fast.
And, it's a little heavy.
And I go, we're coming in too hard. He goes, well, too high, too hard and too fast. And I'm like, we're about to land the plane.
Jesus.
Slow it down. Bring us down and make it softer. Fix this thing. He would say little one-liners there that you'd go, I don't know if this is going to be okay.
A lot of weight.
When we were trying to take off to head over to the Bahamas in the first place, he goes, ooh, lot of weight today.
And if you're listening to it, the air traffic control, all the pilots are talking to each other. They're like, you know, M82 November, Papa, we're going to go in 8,000 feet and I need you to do 30, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he goes, what the F was that? I'm like, okay, there we go. Round two, think I'm going to die.
I think on the way back, there was an extra set of headphones that I plugged into the plane and listened to all the air traffic operators and all the other planes.
It's cool.
It's cool. And I think that's why I really wasn't ever that frightened about the plane, because I knew when things were about to happen. Like, I heard the tower tell him to ascend to 8,000 feet and hold steady, and mm-hmm. I go, all right, we're about to pull up a little bit. Like, nothing
you
was
have no fear of flying.
How did the beep not scare you?
He has no fear of flying. That's what it is.
Zero fear. But do you truly think, after seeing all the controls and all the buttons, that you could still land a plane?
Oh, I don't. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, still confident
yeah?
about this.
Yeah, I still think I can land a plane.
I'm a little more confident about flying, I think. I'm not totally sure. Some people asked me this yesterday on Twitter. And if you are somebody who is like me and you hate every little jostle and bump and you just get so anxiety-ridden when you fly, something about sitting in the co-pilot seat and learning how everything works, and when something happens, you get to ask a question, it really does relax you.
There's also a lot of cool technology at your fingertips nowadays. Like, I could imagine before, like, all the different little airports we went to, all the different, like, FBOs and stuff, would have, like, a room for that's just for pilots. And a lot of it is just a book of charts. And, like, when you would file your intent to depart, you would file your flight plan, before you did that, you actually had to chart everything out, and you,
like, a trip tick or something.
Yeah, kind of like that. There's these little routes in the sky that are like roads that you have to take to places, and it's not just flying in a straight line. And so, back in the day, that was probably a lot more annoying. This guy that we had a damn iPad mounted next to him that he was reading all that stuff
yeah.
with, and just kind of flipping between the different airports and the different readouts. And then it also had all the frequencies for all the towers that he was supposed to get on.
Another thing you could see was, on the computer in the main dashboard, there was a giant red circle around West Palm Beach. I mean, mm-hmm. a big, giant, like almost half the size of the state of Florida, maybe a little bigger, right around West Palm Beach at Palm Beach International Airport. And it was because Trump was at yeah. Mar-a-Lago, and you can't fly anywhere around there.
No, you can't be in the same airspace as Air Force One.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. We got tons of stories from the Bahamas. We'll sprinkle them here or there. You can hear the underbelly stuff over on Secret Shows with an island-inspired redo of the intro.
Which is so cute.
Secret Shows.
Nice.
Check all that out. Go over there. We got many, many stories for you throughout the week today. Lots of live shows ahead, so that's good for everybody involved. And on to the big stories, plus your dispatches when we come back. What to expect this week with all the Stoneman Douglas High School stuff, locally and beyond. The details, you're going to want to hear these next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The phone system is a fickle beast, but he'll still take your calls. You're listening to the News Junkie.
A lot of stuff on your mind, obviously, with the dispatches rolling in. We'll get to those very, very soon. And even though going to the Bahamas, we went through tiny airports. Like Orlando Executive Airport, which, I mean, the security there is a whole nother world of easy. I'm just being honest about this. Like, you show up and they go, do you have any bags? Yep, here's my bags. And then your pilot comes in and they're like, see you later, have a great flight.
Well, I mean, you're pretty much, for more or less, flying your own plane.
Mm-hmm.
So the security is up to you.
All I'm saying is, it seems like a really easy way to do bad things if you wanted to do bad things.
The lack of x-ray machine at the Marsh Harbor Customs Office.
The lack of any machine at the Marsh Harbor Customs. You land, you walk over, and they're like, hey, welcome to the Bahamas.
Welcome.
And you go over, and then they scan your passport, and they go, do you have any tobacco products, any vegetables or fruits or anything alive with you? And you go, no. And they go, I thought so. Have a great day. Enjoy your time in the Bahamas, because you are definitely telling the truth right now. I mean, really, that's kind of the way it is, even though it doesn't necessarily happen exactly like that. But that's kind of the way some of this stuff shapes out. And the airport there is totally different than MCO, which when you're going through Orlando's main international airport, you're going to go, you're going to check in with your airline. You're going to go over to the TSA area. You have multiple people who are checking you in and putting you through the body scanner and putting your stuff through the X-ray machines. All that, the whole process by the TSA, say what you want about it, but it's been rather successful. I think about it. Other than 9/11 and some attempts that failed miserably, like the underwear bomber and the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, hate him more than all the rest because now we have to take our shoes off at the airport because of that idiot. And all of those things, they've both basically been shut down by the TSA, either doing such a great job or the terrorists wanting to use different tactics to get things like that done.
Right.
And so, especially in Orlando, I mean, Orlando's in the top 10 of the airports in terms of what they've been able to do. Last year, according to Fox 35, Orlando International Airport ranked 7th in the nation when it comes to guns and other contrabands, bringing in 94 firearms at checkpoints. 81 of those guns were loaded at the time. And I view that as they're good at finding this stuff and making sure they go through everything. But right now, they're fighting the Orange County government because the Orange County government wants to get rid of the TSA and hire private contractors to operate the airport security measures.
Hmm.
Now, people are going to freak out over this, but there's some nuance to it. The TSA would still oversee the security of the airport at large. But the agents, the people who were under the TSA's responsibility, would be private contractors if this vote goes through. I say, how do you have people who have been successful thus far and say, because of money and only money, we're going to bounce you out of here and bring in some private employees that we have to train from the beginning and get up to the level that you're at now. Just keep it how it is. Now, maybe it's that expensive. Maybe I'm not paying attention or it's that expensive. But there's enough money in airports that you can figure out how to make that cash otherwise without putting the security apparatus up in the air for at least a little while. So a big fight going on between the TSA and the union. And will they actually take the TSA officials that check you in, scan your stuff, all that stuff, and end up replacing them with private employees to save some money? That's going to be the big question.
Yeah. And that being said, like, it's funny you bring that up because I got this like really random text, and I thought it was, I mean, obviously I'm part of some list, but it was an organizer with Working America, and they talked about that. Orlando International Airport might get rid of the federal security agents, replace them with the less trained, lower paid staff, putting us at risk. Can you help us stop it?
Yeah, it's a labor union that's pushing it, so it's probably some political thing that they're doing outreach to get people's attention. What they don't say on here, which I'd be incredibly interested in, is what the cost difference is. Like, how much is this union pushing for? What are these TSA workers making? And I know you can crap all over them if you want. You go to certain airports, it's not as good of an experience. But overall, I've flown in and out of MCO many times. I haven't had a problem there. And obviously, it's been rather good as far as the work done and what they were able to get out of people's luggage and elsewhere. 94 firearms, 81 of those loaded that they kept off of planes. So they'll vote tomorrow to determine whether or not this goes through. I don't think it's this end of the world. Oh, we're all going to die if they go private. Because usually a lot of that stuff can improve things over time. But I don't think there's any reason to fire these people or make them move elsewhere, which is the goal, simply because it's a cost-saving measure. Depending on how much, I guess, that cost is and how much it is over time. Quickly, before we go to break, holy cow, this Olympics has been a very weird one. And for multiple reasons. Number one, everybody's tuning out. People are not interested. Younger people don't give a good goddamn about what's happening in the Olympics right now.
No, unless it's on the TV, I kind of keep forgetting that it's happening. I mean, I'll see a meme every once in a while on the gram, but I watched a good amount of curling yesterday. But that's about it. Yeah. Once I left, I almost forgot that I watched.
It's easy to. And you don't even see that much even on social media. Like before, it would kind of control things. You see it and you go, oh, that's right, that's still going on. And the stuff that does pop through tends to be stories like this, because this is like the third wardrobe malfunction for the ice dancers, who really got to consider these outfits that they're wearing a bit more. It's a French ice dancer, Gabriella Papadakis, left devastated after an untimely wardrobe malfunction took the shine off her short program performance at the Winter Olympics. She threw herself backwards on one of the final moves, and her costume went up into the side. Ooh. And her breast just popped right out of that thing. And then so for the rest of it, it's like you're doing the poses where you put your hands up like a ballerina and your boobs are just hanging out in front of the world.
A triple areola.
It was a sight to be seen, and she was very upset afterwards. But said, you know what, this is what happens. It's frustrating because here's why she was mad. It's frustrating because I lost a few points for the costume, for the wardrobe malfunction. That's ridiculous. The score on what she did, all these ice scoring things are so out of control right but now.
Is that not, it's considered a flub though, unless...
I think they should be judged solely on the performance and not on if something went wrong and your nipple popped out the side of your outfit. But I guess that's what happened to her. That's what she was so mad about, not just being exposed there. You can see what happened to this lady, the French ice dancer, Gabriella Papadakis, on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. If you're at work, just kind of go into the corner with that. It's on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Lots to get into. There's so much stuff that we got to talk about and that we missed while we were gone. But I am thoroughly enthralled with an issue that people aren't quite paying attention to right now. We just had a massive volcano erupt.
Oh.
And this one was in Indonesia. And I want to tell you exactly what happened there. And then what would happen? What would happen? It's going to happen eventually. If the super volcano at Yellowstone erupted, what would happen?
That will be very, very bad for the entire world.
Oh, I don't think you have any clue. I had no idea just how significant this would be. Everybody stand by for this so you're prepared and ready to go when that does occur. You're going to want to hear the details. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You can listen to the Monsters in the Morning on iHeartRadio. And now you can watch them every day on the new iHeart Monsters YouTube channel by going to monsters.fm. And listen every weekday morning on Real Radio 104.1. Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie. I'm down for whatever it takes me. I'll fight it like a rain.
I'll fight it. I'll fight it like a rain. It's unbelievable to me. Now, when I saw this story, it was one of those stories that just sent me down a rabbit hole of, holy cow, this is real. And this can happen at any moment. And I know everybody's talking about different things in the country right now, like violence in schools and gun violence. But it's sometimes stories like this that give you a little bit of a sense of how everything could change in a moment. Everything could change in just a split second if some incident happened to spark that. For instance, this week we have the volcano in Indonesia. There's people who live by this thing, and I don't know why, because it's about every year that Mount Sinabung, which is the actual name of this volcano.
Mount Sinabung?
No, that would be delicious, but Mount Sinabung is a little less appetizing.
I imagine that Mount Sinabung erupts glaze for everybody. It just covers you in...
Oh, I just live on that volcano.
Just Picasso's you in glaze.
There could be some people who are confused and think that, and that's why they're residents there.
Jackson Pollock, my bad.
They continue to get let down every time. Rumbling Mount Sinabung erupts, and that happened again. It's on this island called Sumatra, if you haven't heard of it. And it's pretty wild to see this stuff happen. And mostly, people don't talk about it because... Even though it can do a lot of stuff to the climate and the atmosphere, It can do a lot of stuff to the air industry because when there's a volcanic eruption, generally the ash gets shot up very, very high into the sky and makes it so it's very difficult to fly in or around that area for some time to come. That ash moves around and makes other places impossible to fly to or from, and that happens. But usually they go, wow, look at this really cool eruption video. And I watched so many of these. I was showing C-Lane one. Listen to this, Sabrina. There's a guy's outside. Where's this one?
See that? Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea. And there's a volcano. And it's not even a big one. It's like a little volcano. The volcanoes I'm usually talking about are super volcanoes. And so this thing starts to erupt as they're filming it. They're not far away. They're on a boat. And the volcano is about to go. And then you see the first part of it.
All right, here's the first plume of smoke and steam goes in the air.
And it's just steam. Now they said the shock is coming. Be careful. Listen to this. That's the shock wave alone.
Holy smoking Toledo's.
Holy smoking Toledo's.
Holy smoking Toledo's.
That was from a tiny little volcano. And then you think about things bigger than Mount Cinnabung, bigger than this volcano in Papua New Guinea. How about Yellowstone? Yellowstone National Park is a big, beautiful park and a keystone part of this entire country. And it also is the home to one of the biggest supervolcanoes on planet Earth. And a supervolcano that is underneath Yellowstone right now is going to erupt. Now, I don't say that to scare people, like, in the immediacy. Hey, run! Go get as many eggs and milk and all the stuff as you can. Go raid the stores. No, it's not going to happen this week or this month, but it's going to happen eventually. Eventually, the super volcano in the United States, below Yellowstone, will erupt.
Oh, yes.
And so, what happens then? It happened 2.1 million years ago. That's a long, long time. I understand that. It happened 1.3 million years ago. It happened 664,000 years ago, and they expect it may happen in the next 1,000 years in this country, in Yellowstone, with this super volcano. Every single time it's happened before, it's changed the history and the course of this planet. And while you have all these things going on in your life, and you go, oh, I got a lot of debt, student debt is building up, I don't know, my car is not running as well as it should, what would happen if today, if tomorrow, if next week, if in 100 years or 1,000 years, that volcano at Yellowstone erupted. And so I looked into this. It is mind-blowing what would happen here. Here's some of the details that they've suggested will occur when this does eventually happen.
Full-scale emergency mode begins nationwide. The U.S. government calls on the citizens to evacuate the entire western portion of the country. It would be the largest full-scale evacuation in American and world history.
Just to put the point on that, that's manifest destiny in reverse. Everybody from the West Coast, go east of the Mississippi. Every last person, because they're going to get some heads up on this by a few days or a week. Hey, the super volcano is about to erupt in Yellowstone. Head east. And everybody is supposed to evacuate east of the Mississippi. And you can imagine that alone, what would happen, all the chaos it would cause.
People would only have days to leave the area and their homes. There would be chaos for those trying to leave and others exploiting the loot left behind. Mass riots envelop across major U.S. cities, mostly in the West. In a few days, states like Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and Utah are depopulated. Their citizens gone and crossing the Mississippi River. Many would be stuck behind. Those who don't have cars in the cities or too poor in rural areas would have to wish for the best in the impending fallout.
So then where do all these people go? The West is emptying into the East after the supervolcano. Where do all these people go? This is crazy what would happen if this occurred in Yellowstone.
Stock markets would crash across the globe. Economies are put in jeopardy from simply anticipation of the eruption. The days before the eruption would be filled with panic, dread, and dramatic shifts in demographics. Refugees would make shelter east of the Mississippi or as far as they could go. Then one day, the volcano erupts. In under 10 minutes, the states of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming are literally wiped off the map.
Gone!
Their landscapes explode and are covered in volcanic lava. Ash flies into the atmosphere as an ash cloud forms across the mainland United States. For an 1,000-mile radius, the ground is covered in 10 feet of volcanic ash,
dramatic.
Making two-thirds of the country uninhabitable.
Two-thirds of the United States uninhabitable. And it just gets worse and worse and worse, and the economy collapses, and people don't know where to go, and this huge ash cloud. Man, it is unbelievably crazy to consider the stuff that would happen if, and I guess kind of when, that happened here.
Yeah, and then that's the stuff that is predicted. Think about how the people are going to react to it and how much worse we will make it as humans.
Oh, my God. People freak out if the power is out for a couple of days. If there's a super volcano eruption. And they said in some of these states there'll be 3 feet of volcanic ash, which doesn't sound that bad, right? Volcanic ash? You think it's just going to snow down on you? It's glass and rocks, and it's what kills most of the people. Look at Pompeii and all this stuff. All right, I'm done scaring you, but just there. I mean, that's something that can happen at any moment. Live life like volcanoes are about to erupt. It's like the gargoyle falling in. It's not as catchy. What is it?
Three L Vatter.
Live life like volcanoes are about to erupt, or a gargoyle could fall on your head at any moment now.
True story.
All of those things could happen at any second. And in Indonesia, they're dealing with the aftermath of this. It shot up from rumbling Mount Sinabung, ash 16,400 feet into the atmosphere, and hot clouds down the slopes of Sinabung. No fatalities or injuries, thankfully.
That's good.
Indonesia is not the spot to be if you're not a fan of volcanoes, because currently there's three of them erupting in Indonesia. That shockwave, though. Can you do that again?
Yeah.
Shockwave hits, and it's about 8-10 seconds after the volcano goes off, if you take that and multiply it by hundreds and maybe even thousands, realize exactly what that would do. Kind of mind-numbing. Holy jeez.
Holy smoking Toledo.
That's one of my favorite self-censors I've heard in a very, very long time. Let's go over to some dispatches and see what is on your mind. Let's go to Laura with a dispatch.
I don't know Tyler Reif personally, but he might know me because I'm pretty sure that song was written about my life.
That song is like just a snapshot of Sunday Funday Girls.
Yeah, that's what he's going for.
I mean, if you listen to the verses and stuff, it's like we're gonna start here and Uber here and bottomless mimosas here and yada yada yada.
And that's why every girl in the Bahamas when we were there was singing along to this thing. Unfortunately, what Laura's talking about is we began to make fun of it slightly at the bar, and it turns out the singer of the song we were talking about was right next to us.
Oh, yes, directly.
Call this out.
Oh, so wait, is the song the story of her life, or is the incident with Sabrina putting her foot in her mouth the story of her life?
I think the song is the story of Laura's life, which is white girls, white wine, and Adderall. I think. You never found the other one?
It's a good
one?
Story.
Why is the tequila song so hard to find?
I don't know. I'm trying to find...
You might have made it up right then and there.
It could have been. I mean, it was that kind of song. Here's, the guy with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Glad you had a good time in the Bahamas. Listen, I just heard that there's apparently some gunman running around Gateway High School in Kissimmee, and the police are all over it. Didn't know if you saw anything coming through your channels, but I figured I'd let you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. In the wake of what happened at this school down south, what's going to happen is for a while, everything is going to be picked up immediately, and they got to sort things out. And that's what we're going through here. You're going to see a lot of that this week, this weekend, and beyond. And let's just hope when they do happen that it's not going to be anything along the lines of what we saw. There's already been attempts at copycats in this, and you definitely don't want to see that. Here's Insecure Walrus.
Hey guys, living here in Nashville, everybody that you meet is a songwriter of some sort. And I know a guy that worked on the radio here in Nashville, and he had an artist on who had recorded one of his songs years and years ago. And so he finally, when he got to interview him, said, "Do you remember this song? What'd you think of this song?" And the artist said, "That was the worst song I've ever recorded. I can't believe I put that piece of trash out." And he said, "Oh, well, that's cool. Awesome." Reminded me of y'all's story.
Still probably made some money off that. I wonder if the guy who, I don't know if I should tell this story. Should I burn bridges here?
Yeah, do it.
I'm pretty good at that.
3, 2, 1.
I wonder if the radio guy who he's mentioning was the one and only Cadillac Jack out of Nashville. And the reason I know about him was because at one point in time, I heard a story where he was supposed to be the MC for this big event. And there was all of these Nashville stars out there. Nashville elite had gathered, and everybody who's who in country music was going to be at this thing. And I think it might have even been, don't quote me on this, a charity function. And this radio guy, Cadillac Jack, is supposed to be the MC and is not three sheets to the wind, but all of the sheets to all of the winds. And management from all the radio stations is there, from competing radio stations.
Nice, so things went well, huh?
Who's who was there? And just a disaster, a catastrophe unfolded in front of absolutely everybody assembled at the bar that day. I think he might have lost his job in the wake of all of that.
That's bad for old Cadillac Jack.
Well, that's why over here we've done the smart thing. What is the smart thing, you ask? Well, lay a trail of breadcrumbs showing that you can drink and have fun. And then if you do drink and have fun at one of these events, they go, oh, that's just the way they act. We're expecting this. We didn't expect buttoned up Sean Wasson at this event.
No, we expect the news drunkie.
Mm-hmm. And then if they start complaining, I'll go, oh, yeah? A super volcano could erupt at any minute. Holy smoking Toledo.
Holy smoking Toledo.
We'll all be absolutely doomed.
Yeah, but we'll look good in ash.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I've seen some of those people left over from the Pompeii thing. It's a weird way to die, and it kind of preserves you. I don't know if I want to be preserved after I'm dead. Just bones left over. I don't want people like posing my body and taking pictures with it or anything. That'd be too weird. Back in just a moment. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
A safe haven of sorts for all of the 95 percenters. This is the News Junkie.
More your dispatches soon. And I want to tell you about this because I was thinking about it after the Bahamas and I saw this news story coming back. Because of all the power outages we had, Christ, and the internet going down every 5 seconds, I guess you shouldn't complain about that. You should want to get away from that stuff when you go on a vacation, but I have a hard time with it. I just do. And with all that happening, missed a bunch of stories, so naturally, coming back, I had to dive back in to see what was going on, what I missed while I was out, and make sure I didn't do a whole bunch of super old stories here on Tuesday, and all of that. And I realized one thing I did like, despite the fact that the plane we flew on was one step up from a paper airplane, and it was frightening as hell, and there were a lot of weird things that happened on this journey that we've been telling you about. Despite all of that, I liked that when you were ready to go, you could just put your stuff on the plane and go.
That's it.
Like that you knew who your passengers were, and it wasn't like, oh my God, that lady just brought an infant with her, and she's one row away from me. Oh my God, that 12-year-old keeps kicking the back of my seat, and I know this is going to happen for the 5-hour flight out to Vegas. All of those things. You get around that because you know who's going to be on the plane with you. That's going to be a tight fit, depending on what size of plane you end up getting into. But you know who your fellow passengers are. And that's important because there's some weirdos out there. Like, for instance, this woman who's going viral for her actions on a Ural Airlines flight. And she was headed for Moscow from Turkey. One of the passengers decided, well, I got a little bit of a flight going on here. We might as well make the most of it. And she decided, I'm going to do a little bit of laundry.
That's easy.
It sounds weird to do laundry on an airplane, and I would not want to be in the seats behind her, depending on how this all ended up playing out. But the woman, for as long as 20 minutes, took her panties and put them up to the air vents over the seat to dry them, thus blowing the air from the plane, which gets recirculated, right through her crotch and her underwear, around the airplane, the folks behind her just getting a nose full of whatever was going on there.
Yeah.
And everybody behind her going, why couldn't this wait for just a little while longer? There's got to be a clothesline wherever you're going. There's got to be a dryer you can use.
Yeah, but, you know, when you got to dry, you got to dry fast. You can't sit in that in a plane ride. That's a yeast infection.
I would just go commando. Could commando solve that rather than you putting your underwear up above your head? Everybody's looking at your underwear.
I just don't know why they don't have dryers on planes.
There is nothing on a plane that's going to solve this problem for you.
Do they have,
keep it in your luggage.
Do they have dryers on them fancy planes, the ones with the shower?
I'm sure some of them do. You mean the, oh God, we always forget, the Malaysia ones? Or
no,
whatever.
It's not Malaysia. Those are the ones that crash.
Yeah.
It's
that's the one that disappears.
No, what's the one that my favorite video blogger took?
Yeah, Casey Neistat is who you're talking about.
What the hell?
Find out what the expensive airline is because it'll kill us here. But this woman, it was not on that. And just holds up her underwear over the air vent. And just picture yourself. You're on the flight, and the person in the row ahead of you does that with their underwear.
Emirates.
Yeah, Emirates Airlines would not allow this to happen. You can see somebody a couple rows back taking a picture of her, holding up the underwear over the air vents, and they're circulating that goodness around to everybody on board.
You gotta love people.
It's on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app if you want to check that out. Another thing I was curious about, I don't know a damn thing about this. I'm not afraid to admit that when it's the case. Chinese New Year is being celebrated, or was celebrated this past week or so. Now, Chinese people are in the year of the dog. And they do this whole thing where they congratulate Chinese people. And, hey, congratulations. Happy New Year. You're the dog. Chinese people are still on the same calendar we are, right? This is a separate thing, isn't it?
I think when it comes to business, yes.
Because that would be really utterly confusing if they had another calendar. And I know some countries, in like North Korea in particular, their timeline doesn't go back as far. They pretend like Kim Il-sung was a deity and things like that. But they stay on the same timeline we do, right?
Yeah, I think, like Sabrina said, for the purposes of business and overall socially the same timeline, we're actually kind of lucky that everybody has managed to agree on at least one thing, that they're
the date
7 days a week, and this is the date, and this is the year, and blah, 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 blah.
And we're not that great at that, because some people do the dates in different orders and stuff, but at least we have that. Like, we can go, hey, I want this to China by June 31st. I don't know if there's 31 days. By June 15th, and I want that to make sure that it's the same time over there. I thought we were on the same page. I think this is a separate thing where they celebrate the Chinese New Year. But they went around to all the NBA stars, and they had them do a little video. And the video was to say Happy New Year to folks in China, big audience in China that watches NBA. So they want to play up to that. They want to seem like they're in tune with what's going on. I'm going to play the video that they made, where they went around and each one of them said their piece, all these big stars in the NBA. And tell me if you hear the one that has caused some controversy.
Ni hao, happy Chinese New Year.
Happy New Year to China.
Sing Yang Kuai Lo.
Happy New Year.
Happy Year to dogs, definitely.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year. I'm Daddy.
Happy Chinese New Year to all my fans in China. Laini. Happy Chinese New Year.
See, some of them are even saying it in Mandarin or whatever, in Chinese, and they are obviously giving some kind of cue card. Here's how you say it. The others are just saying their own thing. So far, so good.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Happy New Year.
Dong Hei Fa Choi. To all my Chinese fans.
Happy Chinese New Year to all the fans in China.
Yeah, Happy New Year to all my Chinese fans out there, and I'm looking forward to getting to China.
I want to wish you all a Happy New Year.
Twins here, Chuai Lu.
Happy New Year's.
Xin Chuan, Kuai Le.
Xi Yin Kuai Le.
Happy Chinese New Year to everybody in China.
Jiayou, jiayou, jiayou.
All right, all, so far so good.
Happy New Year and go Jazz.
I just wanted to wish all of the NBA fans in China a very happy
Right there is the moment.
The NBA what?
He said, I want to wish the NBA, and he went to say China fans. And he might have squashed the words a little bit. Let me see if I can get back to that spot here. Here we go.
Happy Chinese New Year to everybody in China.
Jiayou, jiayou.
It's JJ Redick.
Happy New Year and go Jazz.
I just wanted to wish all of the NBA Shank fans in China a very happy Chinese New Year.
He had a little flub there.
Nobody said, hey, JJ, why don't you do that over again? And they included it in the final version?
They included it in the video. He clearly was just tongue-tied, and that's what he's saying happened here. And there are still people who go, this guy, how dare him, he's racist.
Yes, take him down.
Clearly, he was just trying to say something. And
you think they could have asked him, like, the person filming, like, hey, you might want to do that again, considering what it just sounded like?
Or, like, C-Lane said, just edit it out. I don't know why they kept that in there.
I sort of fell into the same kind of faux pas.
You said chink?
In high school. I didn't say it. I typed it, and it appeared on the Jumbotron at the Orlando Arena.
What were you going for?
Well, I was going for my principal's name. He was a man by the name of Gene Trochinski.
Uh-huh.
And a simple flip of the letters, and I don't know if anybody noticed it, and we edited out of the final copy that was sold to students.
Even that you edited
because,
it out.
Because I go, I looked back at it, and I go, oh my gosh, I mixed up the K and the S or something, and it said Principal Trochinksy. And I was like, guys, I'm going to need you to do a quick edit on that video.
Even on that level, school kids putting together a school project kind of thing, you knew, hey, let's just be better safe than sorry and edit this out.
Let's not have this just committed to tape for everybody's school memories.
I feel like so many people let him down. JJ, I'm with you, man. I know you didn't do that on purpose. Why would you, for God's sake? You knew they were recording you. It wasn't like he was putting that in there as some kind of sly joke or something. And he just got caught up in the words. Probably because they had him try to say the Chinese version before.
Possibly.
Wong Dong Jong Day, and I screwed that up 3 or 4 times. And now he's all over the place. And he's in trouble because he said the C word for Chinese people.
Well, you know, 15 years later, I apologize to Principal Trochinski.
Oh, is he still out there?
I don't know. He might be. I hope so. He's a nice guy.
What if he's still hurt by what happened?
He's never been the same, and he's just been waiting, listening to the show every single day until you mention it.
He probably doesn't even know.
He just now went, yes! That's what he was waiting for the entire time. Good on you, man.
He probably goes, I know this guy. That's cool.
Good on you for doing that. Quickly before the break, yet another incident. They've got to make sure this doesn't happen anymore because it's bad for the kids. Burger King is responding after a family says children saw a sex scene playing on a television in the Burger King restaurant. 2:30 during the day on a Sunday. And yet again, somebody got control of the TV and beamed porn to it because it's a funny prank to do. And Burger King has to apologize. The kids are traumatized, I'm sure, by seeing sex.
That's not what we meant by have it your way.
I just went to a brand new McDonald's, and the drive-thru is completely video screens.
Like no actual board now?
Yeah, no. The board itself, the menu, is all video screen that I guess just like the menu changes around when breakfast is over and they kind of push it off to the side for all day breakfast.
The thing I don't like now is they say that sometimes you're not talking to somebody inside the restaurant and you're talking to somebody in another country on like a headset in a big room.
Yeah.
Like in India or something, like a farm full of people.
Like they're outsourcing the drive-thru.
Yeah. That is the weirdest thing now. Now if I ever do go through a drive-thru, I listen closely to the person's voice and I match it up with somebody in there. I want to make sure that there's an actual employee there that got that job. God forbid they outsource that too. It's going to make just absolute chaos for all of us. When we come back the next episode with Sabrina, stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You don't have to like us in the literal sense. Maybe you're just in it for the free stuff. We're okay with that. Facebook.com/RealRadio Orlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Making up for a lack of formal education by purchasing the first and subsequent rounds. You're listening to the News Junkie. We'll never get free, man, to the slaughter. What you gonna do when there's blood in the water? The price of your greed.
The next episode with Sabrina in just a moment. And after live trivia, we'll talk a little bit more about these students and what's going on with this movement, the protests, the rallies, the walkouts at school, and some actual things. In this moment in time, I'm seeing from people of all spectrums, political sides, gun owners, non-gun owners, all these people kind of coming into a zone of, we can do something here. And this is a moment that I don't think we should lose track of. It's a moment that I think there should be some rules set down and people should be honest about the debate we're having. Because if not, once again, it'll go nowhere. We'll move on to something else and then the next thing happens and the next and the next and the next. And we can ruin that moment by screwing up a couple of simple things. So what can we do? What should we do? What are some of the things that are floating around out there that could be implemented quickly? All that in just a bit. Right now, let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
That's going to come back to haunt us, I'm sure.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
And it totally did haunt you.
Knew it.
Very haunted.
It was very, but very good, too. And thank you to my super secret listener friend. 21 years ago, the year 1997, it was Ben and Jerry's. And they introduced a brand new flavor to our mouth holes.
Funky Monkey?
Nope.
Cherry Garcia?
Nope. Come on. What band is this, man? We're going to see him.
Kind of like Faith No More for a second, but it's not.
We're going to watch him on tour, maybe see him in the sea.
Into the sea?
Might be in the ocean because they're fish. Fish food contains chocolate, ice cream, marshmallows, caramel, and a bunch of love vibes. And of course, named after the rock group Fish, which is now worth $200 million.
They've done two flavors for Dave Matthews Band. The first one I really liked. The second one was kind of just okay, but the first one was called One Sweet Whirled.
Whirled?
And it was like marshmallow, coffee, chocolate. It was amazing.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Saddle ice cream?
Close.
Crash?
Yeah,
close.
In your mouth? Harry Connick Jr.'s daytime talk show was canceled.
Oh, no.
And other news, Harry Connick Jr. has a daytime talk show.
I remember seeing the commercials when they first started with that show, and it faded away pretty quickly.
I think it was what, right after Wendy Williams?
Yeah, it's on during the day, and it's like one of these shows. You know what? Somebody who's a programmer in TV goes, ladies seem to love Harry Connick Jr.
They love his voice. Imagine him for 2 hours talking to them about their vagina issues.
Turns out not so much.
Not so much for Fergie is what you might mean. She performed quite the rendition of the national anthem at the NBA All-Star Game this past weekend. And now she's gone to explain what exactly she was aiming for. She said, I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem.
Did you hear this, Elaine?
Not yet. This is my first time.
Buddy.
Yeah. I heard she kind of scats it.
Yeah. More ways than one. That little move there. At the twilight's last gleaming. Sounds like Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. Now she says, I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem, and last night I wanted to try something special for the NBA. I'm a risk taker artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone, unless, of course, the intended tone was going for waterboarding victim.
Did you see the players' faces? They're like...
How about the end here, where the mic catches the entire stadium hysterically laughing?
Oh, no.
Listen. Hold on. All right, okay, there's that. Got a little chill.
Mr. President.
Ooh.
There's a 6-minute video on YouTube today of her practicing the national anthem.
Not go well.
And she keeps going, I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it's going to work.
It didn't. But she has a good attitude, at least.
I've heard worse. I mean,
it just was weird.
Was it because it sounded like it should be in a smoky jazz club?
Here's the thing, and I saw Naomi Bradshaw comment on this on Facebook. She's done the national anthem so many different times.
She's a pro.
She's a pro at this. She goes, don't try to redo it. Just sing the damn song.
But this does open the doors for a trap remix of the national anthem.
Of that version?
Absolutely. Trump is daring this gal to defeat him in 2020. Oprah's right. Now he spent his weekend, surprisingly, watching television. More specifically, watch Oprah Winfrey on 60 Minutes, in which she moderated a panel of 7 Trump voters and 7 non-Trump voters to discuss Trump's first year in the office.
I saw it. The questions weren't bad at all. Focus on something else.
Now, naturally, Trump couldn't resist tweeting his thoughts, slamming Oprah and possibly revealing that he felt threatened by those 2020 rumors. Now, he referred to Oprah as insecure. He wants everyone to know that they used to know each other very well, yet he felt that Oprah's questions were biased and slanted the facts incorrect. Then he dared to run in 2020 and be defeated just like all the others, !
I think he wasn't even bothered by it. I think that he wants to goad her into running, and then when that happens, he thinks he's going to benefit from it.
Well, she has zero interest in running, saying it's not really in her DNA, but maybe we got a bit of a taste of how fun it would be if she did run for president, and here's a taste of how fun it would be if she was your gynecologist.
The tests are back. You have chlamydia.
No!
But it's not as bad when she sings it like that. Now imagine waiting for months for the release of Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is like the predominantly black superhero movie that people have been talking about, ranting and raving weeks before it came out. Call out of work to see the afternoon showing to save a couple bucks. Or perhaps you just get really high and you buy a slushy, large popcorn, gummy bears for $60. Lights dim, preview plays, and then bam. 50 Shades of Grey instead.
Well, that's a big mistake.
That's exactly what happened to moviegoers in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, when the Regal Atlantic Station accidentally played 50 Shades Freed instead of Black Panther, and the entire movie theater lost it, almost rioting. Here's from inside, thanks to a guy on Twitter and not paying attention to the rules of the movie theater. No. They started to play 50 Shades instead of Black Panther, wrote at Black Trey, saying in the theater today, I'm 5 months removed from ACL surgery and I sprinted through the theater to get that turned off so damn fast. Another person tweeted out, just in case my location tag wasn't descriptive enough, this was in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. Regal almost had a riot in their hands. Now, even the theater staff fixed the mistake after 5 minutes, but April Fool's Day is coming up, so I think AMC, if they had the balls, or cojones, they'll play Paul Blart Mall Cop instead of Tomb Raider.
I don't think they want to do that because this is for more than a dozen AMC movie theaters, I think in the South, the biggest movie they've ever had, actually, this weekend.
I can't wait to see it.
It was crazy to see the demographics numbers. Black people are definitely showing up in droves to see this. They generally show up for about 15% of sales for superhero movies, and this was up to 35%.
Nice.
And it led to the biggest weekend in a damn long time.
It was a big weekend, for Blac Chyna. She got a sex tape release. It's not alleged, because it's totally her, manipulating a pee-pee with the mouth area.
Did you see it?
Oh, I saw it several times.
Oh.
Thanks to the zero warning on Instagram. I've got to watch it as the sun rose this morning with the birds chirping in the background.
People just post porn to your Instagram?
Yeah. You know, if you're following the gossip Instagram accounts.
Oh, man.
That's the latest. Now, Blac Chyna, it leaked over the weekend. Her lawyers are now speaking out, saying that the sex tape is revenge porn. Her co-counsel, Walter Mosley, posted a lengthy caption on Instagram defending Chyna and imploring men to do better. And why don't we think it's acceptable to sell or publish or seek revenge or blackmail women in this way and without their consent? It's not men. We have to do better. Now, one of her ex-boyfriends, his name is Michi. He's the one in the tape, and he is denying leaking it, saying that He remembers it. It was a couple months ago. It was filmed on her phone.
This is new.
And I have no idea how that happened. Now, the explicit video shows a naked China singing into a very, very big microphone, if you know what I mean, performing a bit of an act on him, shot back in July. Now, they say the leak comes less than a year after Robert Kardashian posted nude photos of Black China without her consent. She sued him, was granted a temporary restraining order against him, and then the whole debacle between Black China and the Kardashians started. And now we have round two, my friends. So I guess check it out before it goes away, or this probably will live forever on the internet.
It's on the internet.
Only have time for one more, and I have to give it up to Fox 13 Memphis because they totally, totally trolled this guy.
Go ahead and break him off with a little preview.
Oh, I saw this.
R. Kelly.
Now, he got evicted, I believe, from his Georgia home.
What's going on with him?
I don't know. Not a whole lot. Not good things, but it looks like they used his own lyrics to troll him. They tweeted out, "It's the remix to Eviction. Now he doesn't have a kitchen, nowhere to warm up his coffee, can't even do the dishes. At least he can still sing and hum." There have been over 25,000 retweets and additions to the songs. Now for the internet to enjoy and love forever. Also, good luck on finding an apartment, R. Kelly. On the BoobTube Olympics primetime coverage, 8 p.m. on NBC, The Bachelor Winter Olympics on ABC, Death Row Chronicles on BET, and you can catch Portugal the Man on Colbert. Happy Tuesday, Joe, and remember,
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia when we come back. So if you'd like to play, now obviously is the time to dial us up. I think everybody has a shot at this one because it was Thursday when we were live last, so this is going to be more random. Everybody's got a shot to win. 407-916-1041. Toll free 1-888-978-1041. Two callers head-to-head, and you're playing along on the News Junkie app. Let me make sure that's up and running. If your countdown's not going or something, I'll get it up in just a minute, and live trivia will be already at 1:05. So get ready for that when we come back. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
Live trivia in just a moment. I thought we were going to be able to Wild Wild West it there for a second.
I know. I was just going to curse through the entire live trivia.
Yeah, we go off air, and then it comes back right before we have to talk.
Yeah.
So we don't get to have that moment where we really just get to connect with the folks on the iHeartRadio stream who are just enjoying nice premium audio the entire time.
I mean, most of what you missed was commercials, but there are a few texters there who said, "I don't know what's on the boob tube."
There's some people who got very, very upset. Whenever the station drops out, don't worry. We know that the station has dropped out. Now, it is helpful to send the text, like, "Hey, we're not hearing you. Hey, it's static right now," because that allows us to alert the engineering department.
Yeah.
But we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off when that's happening, and trying to get it back up as soon as possible. Usually it'll just be a minute or two, and then back up and ready to go. As was the case here, so welcome back. We're good to go. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
It's live trivia for a Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Seven questions, two callers. Don't worry, it's not about last Thursday. It's just some more basic general trivia questions that are sometimes a lot harder, I think. But we'll see how you do. You're playing along in the News Junkie app in a moment, and here are our players. Let's see here. Cinnamon Bun.
Yes, sir.
All right. Is it Cinnamon Bun or Bum?
It's Cinnamon Bung.
Bung, okay.
Oh, bung.
All
bung.
Right, we can do that, related to the volcano thing. You know what? Why not go head-to-head then? Yellowstone Ash, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Yellowstone Ash and Cinnamon Bung are players in live trivia today. Best of luck to both of you. Let's get started with question number one. I don't expect you to get all of these, or maybe even half of them. Stay put on the app. You're going to be playing along in just a second. Question one, of all the sports, the athletes that participate in this sport are most likely to get diseased anuses or rectums.
Wow. Is it water skiers, pole vaulters, American football players, or curlers? Cinnamon Bung, you should know this.
That's water skiers.
Yellowstone Ash.
I'll do the same.
Number two, in the movie Terminator, what is the name of the company that created Skynet? Is it Wayne Stark Enterprises, Cyberdyne Systems, Albibach 5000, or Roxxon Energy Corp? Yellowstone Ash.
The last one.
Cinnamon Bung.
Cyberdyne.
Number three, onions, bell peppers, and celery are the three vegetables that make up the holy trinity of this type of cooking. Is that Italian, Polish, Cajun, or Cuban? Cinnamon Bung.
Say Italian.
You say Italian? What do you say, Yellowstone Ash?
Cuban.
Just like that, we're on to number four. During the 1700s, what was the main industry on Nantucket Island? Was it shrimping, horse farming, basket weaving, or whaling in the 1700s, Yellowstone Ash?
The horse one.
Okay, you say the horse one. What do you say, Cinnamon Bung?
I'll say the same.
Number five, a group of lions is referred to as which of the following? Is it a gang, murder, pride, or posse? Cinnamon Bung.
Pride.
Yellowstone Ash.
Pride.
Number six, after his stint as Robin, what persona did Dick Grayson adopt? Was he the Flamer, Nightwing, Bouncy Boy, or Super Dick? Yellowstone Ash.
Nightwing.
Oop. Yellowstone Ash, you said Nightwing?
Yep.
All right, Cinnamon Bung.
Second one.
All right, number seven, final question. According to today's unofficial holiday, today is the day to chase away the winter blahs by going outside at noon, waving your hands over your head, and chanting this phrase. Are you supposed to chant hooty hoo, whoop woo, go go cold cold, or brah brah brah? Cinnamon Bung.
Go go cold cold.
Yellowstone Ash.
Hooty hoo.
There we go. Brah brah brah. Reminds me of that. Who did that song? Da da da. Oh, that,
trio.
Oh my God, that song.
You don't know you, you don't know me.
Da da da. That was all over the radio for like 3 months. Never again.
It got popular, I think, like back in the day, and then it was in a Volkswagen Beetle commercial, I believe, and that really shot it back to popularity.
Damn them for reviving that. Live trivia brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. Cinnamon Bung, Yellowstone Ash. Ready to go through these, Sabrina?
Oh, yes.
Of all the sports, athletes in this sport, they have some problems with the butts.
Cinnamon Bung and Yellowstone Ash both said water skiers, and that answer was right.
What was the name of the company that created Skynet?
It was Yellowstone Ash that said Roxxon Energy Corp, and that answer was bad. Cinnabong Bong said Cyberdyne Systems, and you'll be right.
I would have known not Wayne Stark. I would have known not Albibach. But I might have guessed number four as well. I definitely didn't know the answer
to that.
From
another movie.
The Terminator is not my wheelhouse. Onions, bell peppers, celery, delicious. Together, they're the holy trinity for what type of cooking?
Yellowstone Ash said Cuban cooking, and that answer, incorrecto. It was Cinnamon Bong that said Italian cooking, and that answer, also incorrect. Boppity boopity, Cajun cooking.
Number four, during the 1700s, let's all travel back in time. Imagine we're there in the 1700s on Nantucket Island. What industry are we likely in?
Both the players said horse farming, and nay, that was wrong, Tuckett. Correct answer was whaling.
Whaling, way yes. Back then. Whaling, because the whales are huge, and they get up, and then I guess food, oil, that kind of stuff. Works out for them, but yeah. Not horse farming. Number five, a bunch of lions, what do you call them?
Both the players said a pride, and you'll be proud to know you got it right. Arr.
Number six, after his stint as Robin, Dick Grayson did what?
The Yellowstone Ash and Cinnabong Bong said Nightwing, and that answer was right.
Number seven, the final question. I guess today's some sort of unofficial holiday. You're supposed to say this.
Now, it was Cinnabong Bong, Cinnamon Bong, that said go, go, cold, cold. That answer was no, no. Wrong, wrong. Yellowstone Ash said hooty hoo, and today is hooty hoo day. Now we have a tie.
Uh-oh, let's get them both back. Cinnamon Bum or Bung? Your name has changed so many times over the course of this live trivia. Cinnamon Bung and Yellowstone Ash. They're both up and ready for you, Sabrina, for a tiebreaker.
Yellowstone Ash, you will go first. And what year did the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous take place?
1790.
They're doing some whaling and then, you know, alcohol. And...
Cinnabong.
I'd say 1950.
1950.
All right, there we go.
The correct answer was 1935, so I guess making it close, Cinnabong, bong, bong.
All right! Bong, 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 bong. Congratulations, sir. You are the winner of live trivia today, so stay right where you are so we can get your information. C-Lane, what do we have for prizes?
I have a pair of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross at Raymond James Stadium on February 24th, plus a pair of Supercross pit passes for before the show. Tickets are on sale now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information. Also, I have a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Death Wish starring Bruce Willis on Wednesday, February 28th at the Regal Waterford Lakes. Director Eli Roth reimagines the classic 1974 revenge thriller Death Wish starring Bruce Willis, Vincent D'Onofrio, Elizabeth Shue, Camilla Marone, Dean Norris, and Kimberly Elise. Star-studded, I'd say, Sean.
I would, yes.
Yes.
Indeed. The great prizes all this week, so make sure you're paying attention and playing along. And those who were playing along in the News Junkie app, how'd they do?
Always a weird day when we have the random trivia. Mm-hmm. But there is a tie for the top spot. David Ackerman and Ranch Hand both have 540 points, followed by Anjawa Squirrel. It's a Me John, Queen Marine, Juan Shawson, That Guy, Jerry Generic, and Stone Cold Jane Austen.
Do you feel like those people are uncomfortable in the top 10?
I think they're excited.
Oh, man, not usually here.
Somebody texted in, yes, made it to the top score, expletive, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
They're super excited about that. The back five, not so good at the regular trivia, but just made it. Bradio, Cornfeller, come on, the churches. It's D'Amato and Panta J. Loon.
There you go. Thank you all for playing along. Truly is appreciated. And again, some changes to live trivia, mostly improvements and stuff like that. We'll make it better, more fair, more fun, better prizes. That's coming in the next couple of months, so look out for that. And when we come back, we'll talk more about what's happening with these students, as they are right now, some of them on top of SUVs, giving speeches in Coral Springs. They're going to meet lawmakers in the state of Florida and Tallahassee very, very soon. A lot of passion, a lot of argument, a lot of people going back and forth over this already. Let's see what we can figure out when we come back. Stay put, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
I got news for you, and it's going down. Before you come home and tell me you're not angry, I'll be leaving.
Oh, let's get into this a little bit here, because they were just showing moments ago in Coral Springs a big bus that is headed off to Tallahassee with a bunch of students from Stoneman Douglas High School. This is the scene of the attack where 17 students and teachers were killed by this shooter. And a lot of those students have been in the news over the last several days. Some of them very passionate. And they've become now a thing where it's a little tough to even handle. Because you get people who go, you cannot disagree with them. You cannot say that they were wrong to say this, because you don't know what these kids went through. No, I actually think it's more important than that. I think this is a really important moment in history where if something's done on an immediate basis, it could change everything. And we have most people, and I'm seeing almost everybody in my Twitter feed and elsewhere, and just emails and stuff, start to agree that something needs to be done. Like, something needs to happen. So what? And then what are the problems there? I think one of the biggest problems is going to be arguing over the lunatic fringe stuff. And these are the people who are going to go, we want to take all your guns. These are the people who are going to go, it's so much more than just these simple things that will set us on the path. These are the people who are going to take a tact that puts the other side on such a defensive posture that nothing gets done. And that is not a healthy thing, I don't think, to do with this moment. So I hope that's in mind as these students head over to Tallahassee. I know that the politicians that they meet there are going to be very interested in what they have to say and the photo ops as well that come along with it. But there's some reasons for all this. There's a major reason why the students are going to Tallahassee, and that's because you cannot do this on a local level.
Correct.
There are laws against having any big changes in gun rights or gun control laws on a local level. Miami can't do something different than Jacksonville. Jacksonville can't do something different than Orlando and Tampa, and on we go. And that's because of a bunch of things. And maybe some things that need to be rolled back, like HB 45 and other things that we've been dealing with for a very long time, like portions of the Firearms Protection Act and other legislation that sort of holds us in this holding pattern where we can't do anything. So that kind of stuff is why they're headed to the Capitol. But I think one of the biggest things that sort of fell through the cracks here is that it fell through the cracks when it came to this shooting. And the FBI, the ATF, local law enforcement, all of these people need to have a come to Jesus moment here where they say we've got to fix what was broken. I've heard so many people come to the defense of the FBI when they were handed on a silver platter multiple instances where this kid outright said under his own name, "I'm going to shoot up this school."
100%.
And I'm going to be a school shooter, he said.
Even came out afterwards saying that they screwed up.
Yeah.
That they need to review the protocol of everything.
Which I really wonder how that's going to play into any lawsuits that might happen here.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of them. But that being said, how are people still coming to the defense when they've admitted themselves that they screwed up?
There are people who are saying that the FBI, even some of the students are going, the FBI is not to blame here. And the FBI was among the first responders that were helping us and hugging us as all this was going on. I've heard a lot of that, especially from one of the kids. There's two students that are really at the forefront of this. David Hogg is one of them, and I think he's 18. And then Emma Gonzalez is the girl with the shaved head that you might have seen everywhere, and she's 18 as well. Those are the two in the forefront. David Hogg has definitely said, like, the FBI was not who we should be focusing on here. And I think that's incredibly wrong and off target because the FBI got tips on this guy. And if you want to make the argument that I've heard out there that you can't track down all of these tips, I looked up, I said, how many do they get? How many do they get from FBI.gov per day? And they get about 700 to 900 tips per day, which is a lot. It's definitely a lot. But the FBI has a significant budget and a significant staff. And if you boil that down to per hour and break it up on the quarter hour even further than that, there's no way that that becomes too cumbersome to investigate. When it comes down to having a person's name and the idea that they said they were going to be a school shooter sent directly to you, the inaction is inexcusable. They admitted that themselves. So I don't think that they should be defended in this. I also think you have so many other things that run into troublesome situations along the way. Like, why is it that we don't have a national searchable database where you can track the history of all of these weapons? Why is it that that's not something that the ATF can do? And it's not because we don't have the information. We have it. They just don't have it or are held back by law in a way that they can actually search that and find any information in there that might be helpful. God, there every single day there's some sort of investigation that requires looking up the history of a gun. Can you imagine we just have like PDFs to work off of and not a searchable database in 2018? This isn't crazy. That's not something radical that people wouldn't agree with. That's simplistic stuff. Some of this stuff is just so obvious. The bump stocks, the trigger cranks. There's not a line of people that are going to defend this stuff. Some of the other stuff about mental health, there's not a line of people who are lining up to say that people with mental health issues should be able to get weapons. So there's so much common ground here, and I hope that that common ground is fertile enough in the moment after this terrible event that people can actually make some progress.
Absolutely, but it's also important that people get involved with this, not just hope that the students walking up to Tallahassee will take care of it, and then the only thing we could do is go to social media and do our Monday quarterbacking or, you know, give our opinion on it. It's like, we have to use the rights given to us to vote, to make these laws put into place, to speak out and raise our voices when it's important. How much longer, how much more of these incidences are we going to deal with before people start doing things?
Well, that's, I think, what's kind of in action right now. The risk being that if a lot of lies get injected into this and just falsehoods and stuff, it starts people arguing. Instead
from which side?
From both sides. It starts people arguing instead of finding common ground. I mean, I think people who are just strident Second Amendment supporters will argue that everybody just needs a gun, right?
Right.
I mean, give everybody a gun, it will all be safe.
Or the other side, you were talking about that list of school shootings,
mm-hmm.
which is, not all of them are necessarily at students or student-involved.
Like, right.
You know, somebody is across the street from a school, and one person shot another person, they're counting.
Sure, and that's the group, unfortunately, that is heading up the whole March on Washington thing. And that's why I think it's very important, to be honest. When they ran out there with this story that everybody gobbled up hook, line, and sinker that there have been 18 school shootings this year, everyone ran with it. And they knew that they were manipulating that data. Five, which is the truth, is every bit as shocking and unbelievable and worthy of fixing without having the lies interjected into the argument itself. And they need to hold politicians accountable throughout this process. If they're the ones in charge of making some changes happen here, we need to make sure those changes happen. And I think without a shadow of a doubt, the big change that needs to happen is all gun sales. And I know that would not have stopped this incident down there in South Florida. All gun sales need to go through a background check process. It's not crazy. It's not going to hold you back from your Second Amendment right to bear arms. It's not going to slow the process down any more than it already is.
What if I get attacked in those couple days?
Well, there's no reason whatsoever.
I need it now.
You're going, hey, I'm going hunting. I don't know why you'd have an AR-15. I'm going to do something where I need an AR-15 this weekend.
How do you expect a deer's head to blow up?
I can't possibly just wait 24 hours or get it with enough time to begin with. These are simple things. And I tweeted this out on like Friday or something. I said, why is it that you can get an AR-15 at 18 and you have to be 21 to buy a handgun? That doesn't make any sense.
Of course it doesn't.
This is a law that's tied to having bolt action rifles and things to do with hunting and things to do with protection of your domicile that has become attached to something that it wasn't supposed to be attached to with some of these weapons that are semi-automatic, shoulder-mounted rifles like an AR-15 or something. I don't think anything I just said, I don't think any of that is controversial. I don't think, other than the background checks thing, I think most people will be on board with that. And if we find that common ground and march toward that and get politicians to consider this stuff, something can happen. But if you have these lunatics out there on the radical sides of this demanding the world instead of a solution that makes sense, it could throw everything off track. And you get people on the defense. And you get them going, you see, I told you they're going to take all our guns. You see, I told you they're not going to buckle at all on any of this gun control stuff. And when that becomes what we're all facing, I think the talks break down. So they're having a town hall, I guess, tomorrow. It's tomorrow night on CNN, talking about what's happening here. That'll be one place to see this stuff. There are also these young kids from the high school down south. They're headed off to Tallahassee now. Then you have, as I said, the school walkout next month. There's one of those and something, a large gathering in Washington. All going to keep this in the news for quite some time. Let's just hope people stay on target, stay honest about things, and be realistic about what we can do in this situation. Back with jury duty in just a moment. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Our wall is waiting for all your insights. Not fit for radio broadcast. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Radio. Confirming all reports
and some of your biggest fears.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Jury duty in just a moment. Also, your dispatch has a lot of comments on the stories throughout the day today. Now, the reason why I think all this stuff should be simple, agreeable, and comprehensive is because that's the best way to get stuff done. And you know, another thing that really, really, really should be addressed is another storyline that I've definitely talked about a bunch of times on the show with swatting. And they need to sort of close up these loopholes that have brought on this world of hoax calls, whether about school shootings or an instance where somebody allegedly is holed up in a house with a gun. And it's all done by somebody who's pranking them. And in many cases, or at least in some cases, leads to either injury or death, or certainly frightening the hell out of whoever's on the other end of that swatting call. And there's loopholes here. There's stuff going on where people are able to access phone numbers anonymously and use VPN routing and dial 911 through that, or get transferred over to 911 from a previous call. That kind of stuff really should be something else that they consider and try to solve in this process, because I think there's a little bit built in to the overall society right now where when you do get one of those warnings or calls, you go, is it real?
Right.
Or is it another one of these fake things? Is it a drill?
Just like fire drills.
Right. And I think it would be so important to have kids know that if you're used to getting two or three bomb threats a year from somebody who is hiding their phone number and their identity, and it kind of wears you down, that, hey, if you hear something, we've fixed that. And it's going to be a serious issue if you do hear it. So take it seriously when it happens. And when you have people doing that, they need to go after them, just like they did in this latest case where somebody ended up dying. God forbid that happens again with the swatting stuff, and punish them to the full extent of the law, because it's not a funny thing. It's a very serious thing and has wide-ranging implications, I think. Let's go to some of these dispatches. Here's the Truffle Butters Shuffle. I always want to say smuggler there.
Sean, so the reason why they're not using current statistics or making it available for guns goes primarily back to those who are in the movement for social justice. You'll notice that most of the statistics and research they use comes from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, because it fits the narrative of trying to make changes. You can even, if you talk to people who are in the social justice, they'll say that you can't use current statistics because they haven't been researched enough and or vetted. In their case, that's one of the words that a lot of people like to use when I'm doing investigation on it. So if they start using current gun statistics for reasoning and making decisions, then it opens the door to use current statistics and research on other issues like sex relations and race relations.
Right, and beyond that, a lot of those numbers show that gun violence is down. Over the last decade, it's just plummeted. But that doesn't mean that there's not another problem here. And the problem is pretty damn obvious. It's that mentally ill people are getting access to weapons. Those weapons are then being used to cause mass destruction at either schools or God knows where. And just because one thing is so doesn't mean the other isn't. I think it's a serious thing, and I think there's stuff that can be done.
I mean, don't you get flagged if you're trying to build a bomb using Google? Is that something that causes attention?
I got to tell you, I would have said maybe a month ago, sure, obviously you do. Sure, they're looking into this. But if they're not even looking into tips sent directly to them about what was happening here, there's no way they can look into everybody who's saying how to build a bomb is my next search on Google.
Well, there's plenty of people that search for that just for fun, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're trying to say that there's too much to sift through. But in this case, it wasn't. It was all right there. It wasn't like, hey, here's a riddle. And some kid says on this day, and you got to solve this puzzle, I'm going to be doing it. No. The guy's name was there, the information was there, and the FBI dropped the ball. That's one of the many problems that happen here. I don't think that should be ignored at all. Here's Tater Boy.
What up, News Junkie and crew? Sabrina, C-Lane, Sean, welcome home.
Thank you.
Glad to see everybody made it home safe. Sean didn't have a heart attack on the plane. Hey, I just wanted to check in real quick. My buddy's down there in South Florida still. He's got a fencing company, and he said yesterday they were working Douglas, hanging up temporary fence and stuff, you know, to close off certain areas of the school.
And you're gonna tear that down.
He said it looked like a war zone, man. He said it was so hard to even finish the job. He was, you know, like nauseous the whole day just thinking about what happened there in the carnage. And part of the thing you don't think about. You know, somebody has to go in there and clean that up and get everything fixed up.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Man, I don't know if I could do it. All right, guys, you have a great day. Love y'all. Peace out.
It's always sort of a weird moment after these incidents where they have to decide what to do next. With Sandy Hook, they took the whole school down and they knocked the school down. And with this particular instance, they're knocking that whole building, or they're at least aiming towards it now, knocking down the whole building where this took place.
So Sandy Hook as an entire elementary school is no more?
Yeah, they knocked it down.
Because Columbine High is still around.
I don't know what they did then. And maybe it's a newer thing, or maybe like wasn't happening back then when the school shootings weren't as prominent. That goes to another thing. And maybe this is one of the actually more important things out there. If you look at the timeline of school shootings in this country, a lot of it traces back to Columbine. And you have to start asking yourself some hard questions about why that is. And there's a lot of kids out there that turned Eric Diebold and mm-hmm. or whatever his name is, the two of
Eric
them.
Eric Harris and Dylan Claiborne.
I mixed the two of them. Eric and Dylan. They took them and turned them into figures that they sort of looked up to. And it has spawned so many copycat attacks.
Of course.
And I think that the media is in so many ways responsible by putting these people's names out there over and over and over again.
100%. But if the media weren't to do it at all, that still leaves pages, anything you want to search on the internet. I mean, the media is to blame. Social media is to blame. This has been made to be an answer for people dealing with mental issues as a way to go out in a bang, I suppose. I mean, even when this boy committed this horrible and horrendous crime against his schoolmates, you know, he said afterwards he was sorry. He called his dad. I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they get this idea in their head that this is what is going to be the best outcome for them, and realize immediately afterwards that this is not the movies, this isn't the fan fiction you read online, this is real life.
As some of them do. Other people just stay with the idea that that was a rightful action on their part. And it's a very confusing set of things, I think, if you look into these different cases that triggers these people into doing it. But I would say, without a doubt, it doesn't do anything for anybody to get the names of these people and their faces out over and over again. I mean, to go to a different level, what Sarnev with the whole Boston bombing thing, they put him on the front page of Rolling Stone, for God's sake.
Yeah, that was a little odd.
So you look at this and you just go, that is a simple fix. And I know it doesn't take their name out of everything. People can still figure it out, but it will dial it down.
Yeah.
It'll dial it down quite a bit if you stop doing that. I don't think that that's something that helps this in any way. Turns these kids into rock stars in some level of life.
In the case of Columbine, we were talking about the school, whether or not it's going to be demolished or what they should do with it. They had just, 4 years before the shooting, had a major renovation, adding a new library and cafeteria. They completely demolished the library because that's where a lot of the deaths occurred.
Oh, really?
And they turned it into a memorial ceiling and atrium, and then they just built a newer, bigger library on the hill where the shooting began and dedicated it to the memory of the victims. So I could see, in a case like Stoneman Douglas, maybe them remodeling or revisioning some of the things that some of the places where a lot of the stuff happened.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you say, well, why would we do that? Don't let this kid win. I wouldn't want to be a student in that area after that. And so that's why they end up doing that quite a bit. Here is OTS Steve.
As sad as it is of what happened in South Florida, people protesting gun laws is not going to change anything. Gun laws won't stop mass shootings. Gun laws won't stop criminals from getting guns.
Mm-hmm.
If you have laws that you can't get guns, that's going to stop law-abiding people to get the guns. The criminals will still get them. Drugs are illegal. Criminals still get them. Robbery's illegal. Criminals still do it. Gun laws aren't going to change anything. You need to arm the people at the school.
All right. Thank you, OTS. Ah! I think there's a lot of people that agree with that, that there needs to be some sort of armed presence on a lot of school campuses.
Yeah, the metal detectors and bars over the windows, and it'll be like jail before doing anything bad.
I think you could do it a lot simpler than that just by saying if we have some sort of presence of law enforcement on this campus. If you had that in this case, I think it's easy to argue that it wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. At least somebody would be in there and able to fire back before the police arrived on the scene.
Right, but do you think that if it was a little bit harder for this Nicholas kid to get a hold of a gun, it would have happened? Well, do you think he would have gone to the hood and gotten himself an AK-47 out of someone's trunk?
In his case, he had a whole bunch of guns, and the vast majority of them he got absolutely legally and passed a background check to do so. So then you go, hey, with all this stuff going on, why wasn't there something in the background check that said, hey, maybe this isn't the person to have this. Maybe this isn't the case. And that's why there's a lot of ways to re-examine the stuff we have in place now. And certainly there are some new changes that should be made, but we already have laws and stuff in place that weren't even enforced in this case. Things went wrong that we already have in place. The FBI stuff, you know, with the background check since the weapon he used, I guess he bought legally. It was all done through the laws on hand right now. So you have to figure out what kind of alterations can you make. And you're never going to make it perfect. And you're never going to make it so criminals don't have guns. But you can make it so it's a little bit better and a little better of a situation for people to sift through for clues and to try to stop stuff from like this from happening again. Running late, let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. 1-800-DeWitt-LAW is the phone number, and ask@DeWittLaw.com is the email address. You got a legal question, you can send it there. Very, very easy for you to do. And if you've been in an accident, you want to go up against the insurance companies, well, you have to, in a lot of cases, go up against the insurance companies. Best bet for you is a law firm that cares about your case, that works on this stuff day in and day out. That's why you call 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. There is a story unfolding, and it could lead to a battle between some young people from the United States and authorities in China. And I cannot believe they did this. But there is right now on display in the United States a very old terracotta warrior. And you may have seen these things before. They're like these statues made out of terracotta, and they're kind of cool looking. And some 24-year-old by the name of Michael Rohana took a selfie with one of these statues during an ugly sweater party at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia, where this terracotta warrior is being held. And while doing that, broke off the thumb of the 2,000-year-old statue.
Bad move.
The warrior is worth how much money, do you think? This 2,000-year-old terracotta statue that he broke the thumb off of. How much money do you think, Sabrina?
A solid $1.5 million.
All right, $1.5 million. Celia, and you?
$2 million.
Well, it's known as the Cavalryman. And the warrior is worth $4.5 million. The staff didn't notice the thumb was missing for several weeks until they traced it down to this guy and finally started the process. And Chinese authorities want a severe punishment for the guy who broke the thumb off the statue.
Just glue it back on.
Put a Band-Aid on. I feel like of terracotta statues, of all the things, are maybe easier to fix. You like put a little bit on there, glue that thing back in place. If it was like a painting or something, those ones can be a bit more difficult. But they are not happy about this. A woman arrested after putting a note on a car. This car, she said, was in the way, and she was irritated. She said, I don't care if the whole street collapsed. This is not where you park, and it's inconvenient to other people around here. Why did she get arrested? Because the message she left behind was on an ambulance. She was arrested on suspicion of public order offenses and remains in police custody. Now, this is in the UK. I don't think that would be illegal in the United States. because you can put a note on a car without breaking any laws.
Yeah.
Whether that's an ambulance or your friend's car or anything else like that.
I think you could toilet paper a car technically without breaking any laws.
Yeah, as long as you're not doing any actual physical damage, I would guess. And finally, in jury duty today, Suzanne Mize, 17 years old. Look at how young this girl looks, and I hate to say young and innocent, but just look her up. Susan, M-I-Z-E. She's 17 years old, and her father was carjacked at gunpoint, and they were looking into this, trying to investigate to see what happened. Turns out she set up her dad to be carjacked at gunpoint.
Oh, my God.
Because she was pissed off at her father, and as they investigated more and more, the two male suspects who demanded some cash, they ended up, I think, cracking at some point here, and the whole thing fell apart on her. She just looks like a 17-year-old.
She looks like she's 12.
Yeah, she looks very young, and they would go, wow, she is behind this? You could see her running some waterworks on the police, and they'd go, no way should we suspect her. In this case, yep, that was the case. When we come back, an SNL alum with a near-death experience, seriously, almost died over the weekend. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Don't miss the Monsters on iHeartRadio. And don't miss watching the Monsters in the Morning on the new iHeart Monsters YouTube channel. Just go to monsters.fm and listen every weekday morning on Real Radio 104.1. From the Real Radio. Occupying the space between high society and prison tattoos, this is the News Junkie.
Oh, that was a close call. One of the funniest guys out there. I've always thought Colin Quinn was funny as hell. Whether it was the shows that he's hosted over the years or his time on Saturday Night Live or...
I feel like after SNL, not a lot happened with him. He had a couple shows here and there, but nothing really took off. And he never was taken seriously as any kind of actor.
No, he didn't have the explosion that a lot of these SNL stars get, at least for a short time. And then some of them turn out to be some of the biggest stars on the planet, a la Will Ferrell and that kind of stuff. Was Will Ferrell an SNL cast member? Or he just tried out.
No, yeah, he was an SNL.
He was. All right. I always forget who was who and who's been on this.
He was George W. Bush. He was
a cheerleader.
I knew he'd been on a lot. I didn't know he was one of the permanent members because I do remember his whole test video, which was hilarious. But Colin Quinn and all these other guys over the years who have been on SNL have created some stuff that has a real attachment with many people out there, and he almost died this weekend. Colin Quinn had a heart attack. He's out on tour. I guess he's still doing the stand-up thing. 58 years old. He took to Twitter this week and said he's starting a list of those who didn't check in with him yet after his emergency, which started on Valentine's Day.
So he still has a sense of humor.
Yeah, he's got that, and he's alive, and he's ready to go. The deep-thinking comic thanks the donor or the doctors and the nurses at his New York hospital, saying that the doctors realized they had a precious jewel of comedy in their hands. Quinn announced his heart attack last week, saying his heart broke on Valentine's Day. Literally, he was doing well, but if he dropped dead, you'll see a funeral like Al Capone. And he says, we are not guaranteed a tomorrow, but at least he survived that thing. Good God. I mean, he's in his 50s, but he's not even that old. And when you look at this stuff, you start to see, it's weird when you start to see the people who don't seem that old in Hollywood die off. When George Burns dies, you go, all right, he's an old guy. He's been out there forever. When some of these other people who have been around for so long die, all right, they're in their 80s and their 90s. Betty White's still hanging on, for God's sake. But when you see these people in their 50s or so start to croak and have heart attacks and almost die like Colin Quinn, that is unfortunate, man.
Yep, and then you realize that life is a lot more precious and you should probably take some baby aspirin.
I need a couple of those, I think, each day. What, each morning you're supposed to take one? Is that a thing? Is that...
If you have no spleen.
I here's the problem. I hear this month that baby aspirin, good for you, good for your heart health. Then I see some study next month that says bad for you, bad for your heart health. And sometimes I see the studies and I don't know what the hell you're supposed to do with them. There was a Washington Times story recently that said women who clean at home or at work are much more likely to get cancer or something. I said, what do you do with this information? Would the same thing not happen to men who are cleaning at home or work? Or is there something specific about women doing this that makes them more likely to do it? Are you supposed to not clean because of it?
Is it certain products that they're talking about?
They didn't mention anything specific.
Oh, okay.
So they just give you information and then you have to figure it out afterwards.
Well, no cleaning for me.
Which is interesting because aren't we around the spring cleaning time here at iHeartMedia?
We missed it.
Well, you know what? I'm sending that article over. I was saying refuse to do so. Because some people, maybe not me, are getting sick at work from cleaning, and it's a bad thing. Meanwhile, in New York City, they have the biggest toy show on the planet.
Ooh, boy.
American International Toy Fair is underway. It's a four-day event, so I guess it's just throughout the beginning of this week, and everything's wrapped up. But when they start this thing every single year, it's a huge, huge deal. One of the people that's down there is that young kid who has one of the most profitable YouTube accounts. He's like 8 or something, and all he does is review toys. Dream job.
Ryan.
8-year-old kid, is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Ryan is now with his own toy line, I believe, if it's the same kid, at this toy show. But they're announcing all sorts of other stuff, and parents, be aware, the most popular toy out there right now is something called LOL Surprise Dolls, and some of them are anatomically correct. And they have a very catchy, very annoying little theme song.
That's the surprise part?
The surprise part is a little deeper than that because they will vomit. Mm. They will pee. They will poop.
The company calls it tinkle.
They will tinkle out of actual genitals that they put on the new doll that they've announced there. Punk Boy, B-O-I. And the commercial for these things. So 80s.
Doll comes next. LOL surprise. Drink up. So cute. Whoa. Cries. What? Color change too.
You need a doll. Look for the rare queen bee.
LOL surprise.
LOL surprise. 7 layers of surprise inside. LOL surprise. Each sold separately.
Oh, go away, please. The LOL surprise doll. I guess it was the top selling toy of 2017. Very quietly, just all the young girls wanted to get this. And now they've released the boys. Punk Boy, Lil Punk Boy, and they've been described as anatomically correct for members of the Rock Club Clan, which is, I guess, these little toys all together.
Now, anatomically correct post or pre-puberty, because that changes a lot.
They don't even get that specific, oddly enough. Contacted by the meaning of the phrase, a spokesperson for MGA Entertainment clarified the assertion, saying that just Punk Boy, B-O-I, is anatomically correct, while his younger sibling, so Lil Punk Boy is not anatomically correct, so no baby peen on that one. And then they just said the LOL surprise dolls all have water features where they cry, spit, tinkle, or color change.
Imagine if you get spit on by your own Barbie doll.
That they
like
want
it says
that.
A lot.
I don't understand why they want that. Maybe they fight with them or something?
I used to have one of those little pee-pee dolls.
You had the one like from the Asian restaurant, right?
Yes, the one that the guy got
in trouble for.
The lady tried to say he sexually harassed her because he sprayed her with a pee-pee toy.
He had the...
I think we still have that.
So stupid.
The little boy, the toy where you hit the button and the pants go down, and then he pees as a gag.
It's when you pull the pants down. That's when the pee comes out.
You know, I think you hit a button or like a pump the thing or something. You just pull the pants down themselves. And he used it on one of those hibachi things. And there was a minor outrage by one person on planet Earth.
Oh, the fire department.
That was from that.
Oh, yeah, because that's what he did. That's right. At the moment during the hibachi show, he would go, somebody call the fire department. And he would have the little boy pee out the fire of the onion. You've been there. You've seen it. Well, they say the boy can also tinkle through a feature suggestive of boy parts.
So a penis.
I guess so, or like a little lumpy thing, or...
A little lumpy thing.
It says suggestive of boy body parts.
Like, pee-pee goes here.
Maybe it's not detailed, but you could just tell that something in that area is happening. I hate that. LOL surprise!
LOL surprise! LOL surprise!
No!
Unwrapped 7.
All right, that's enough. That's worse than Hatchimals or anything else to me. But you'll see a lot of new stuff. This is when they do it, right now. Beginning of the year, they pop all this stuff out at these big toy fairs. And by the end of the year, it starts to catch on, and the kids want to get it. And then you as parents, you know, you got to spend some money to buy it. Here is the ultimate bad news, good news story. And every once in a while, it's nice to have something positive going on. And I know it doesn't start out that way, but it happened in Prince George County, Virginia, where a dog was found tied to a tree in the woods in Prince George County. And you have the dog there. He's tied up with a rope. And then right next to him is a bag of dog food.
Oh, and right next,
no, it's opened. And so the dog can kind of snack out of it, I think. And then a heartbreaking note from his owner. So this is the bad part. "My name is Zeus," the note read. Poor little dog. "I'm a very good dog. My owner just can't afford me anymore. She tried to find me a home, but nobody would take me." The note continues, "The owner felt she was left with no other options and hated to do this to Zeus, but I just cannot afford him anymore. So she tied him to a tree with a note attached to his collar." The best news about this and the positive angle that it's headed into, somebody saw this story and adopted the 2-year-old German Shepherd Labrador Aww. Retriever mix. There you go. And they just asked the simple question, can you be Zeus's forever family? And people stepped up.
Yeah, but you know, you could have posted something on social media instead of abandoning your dog. Because if someone had not found the dog, it would have died.
I don't know why people feel the need to do that. Like, I think if you posted that, somebody would say, I'll take him, right?
I mean, I went through that during the hurricane. We had a dog that we found, and if it wasn't through social media, the dog probably would not have been adopted, but it's definitely available.
I think some people might
rescue
be
groups.
Just overall embarrassed. Like, oh, God, you know, I can't afford the dog food, and this is a shameful thing. But you got to try that stuff at least. Put it out there. Say, look, this is a great dog. God only knows what would happen if you just left Zeus out in the woods and nobody saw him in the note. Thankfully, somebody did, so it ends on a good note. And Zeus is now in his forever home. If you have an animal out there that you can't take care of anymore, that you can't afford to pay for, do something positive about it. Take the information out to the masses. See if somebody else will step up and do exactly what somebody else did in this very case. Quickly before the break, a missing girl just 11 years old was found at a hotel with her alleged abductor, a 24-year-old man, one of the creepiest-looking dudes I've seen in a while. C-Lane, can we get his mug shot up, this guy?
Okay.
John Peter Burns, and Burns is B-Y-R-N-S. 24-year-old guy who met her online playing Minecraft and totally fits the bill. I mean, he is...
Okay.
Yeah, he's a creepy-looking individual. She started chatting with him at 11 years old, and he was certainly... had an agenda to do some pretty bad stuff. Thankfully, that didn't happen because the police intervened, but the guy drove all the way from Chicago to Georgia to meet an 11-year-old girl when the sheriff, Jerry Demings, in this case, ended up stumbling on this and said she's lucky to be alive. Back in just a moment with details on a story that we discussed last week about a person on a plane who was right in the middle of a tantrum. How that all ended, that's on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio. Radio. 104.1.
Every time he starts a sentence with, "I probably shouldn't say this," place bets on him saying it. This is the News Junkie.
That's a lot of money. Now, being in the Bahamas, the drinks kind of edge up there in price. Not just a little bit, but quite a bit. I think it's like $12 at some of these places to get one of the mixed drinks. Or you end up looking at the tab at the end and you go, all right. You can make sense of it in the Bahamas because everything that you want to get is a little harder to get. It's harder to get it out there. And things that are really commonplace here are not so much in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Like, C-Lan, you know, we saw many a flat-screen television.
And yes.
They may not have been nearly as large as they are here.
Not the hugest.
You might go to a bar, and their big screen in the corner is like your old television from the mid-90s. They still have that stuff. But
the one in my room was full-on Michael Scott size.
Oh, tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a little tiny thing. And that just because stuff is harder to get and it becomes more expensive. This is totally different, though. This is just running up a tab because this guy,
Jay-Z.
Yeah, Mr. Jay-Z himself had one expensive night out in Manhattan on Sunday. I thought I had a bad tab one time. I think one of the higher ones I've ever had was just a handful of people. $500 or something. Wow, my God, that's a lot of money. He dropped more than $139,000 to celebrate the birthday of Juan OG Perez, his close friend and president of Roc Nation Sports. Jay-Z skipped the All-Star game to take OG Juan and a group of Roc Nation executives to a place called Zuma in New York's Midtown. They went to dinner. That was $13,000 just for dinner. They continued to go to a place called Made in Mexico, spent $9,000 there. Of course, some of it on Jay-Z's own cognac. And then they went to a place called Playroom. And at that point, a lot of people, I guess, had gone home and they were saying, enough of the night, let's get done with this. But the group of six that remained ordered and paid full price for 40 bottles of Ace of Spades champagne, which is owned by Jay-Z as well. They said he bought this and was handing it out to people all over the club. But damn, man, one night, $139,000. Boy, that is a lot of drinking. Let's go to your dispatch and see what's going on in your world. Here is Ricky with a dispatch.
Hey, what's up, junkies? Love the show. Welcome back. I'm not sure if you guys saw the school shooting in Ohio, talking about school shootings, and just another one happened today. Kids
in the bathroom.
I'm not sure if he brought that the weapon to school because he was afraid or what, but he shot himself, and I may want to check it out.
At the airport?
Talk to you guys later. Peace.
Yeah, I saw this morning. Unfortunately, some young kid went into the bathroom at his school. He had brought a weapon with him, and he ended up shooting himself. I don't know if he ended up perishing or not, but just sad to see that on the ends of everything else going on. Here is Pumbaa with a dispatch.
People who argue saying that they're going to take their guns away, they're not going to take your guns away. But there's nothing wrong with having restrictions against getting some guns. There's no reason why somebody needs 15 AK-47s or 3 or 4 AR-15s. What's the point? And people say, oh, well, they can get on the black market just like they do with drugs. Okay, but it's a lot easier to get a dime of weed than it is to get an AR-15 in the black market.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how would you even access the black market? You're not going to go around town saying, "Where can I buy this gun? Where can I buy this gun?" No. So please, if you're gonna make that argument, make a solid argument. How dare you compare it to buying drugs?
I think he's talking to a dispatcher or somebody who said that. I didn't compare it to buying drugs. But the people who buy, you can say black market, I don't know what percentage of sales that is, but people who buy privately, I think it's about 30% or something I read, gun sales go privately, and there's no background check whatsoever on those. Now, what percentage of those are guns that are like an AR-15 or AK-47 that you start to wean down from there? This is just about finding stuff that makes sense, using the stories that we have, like this story in South Florida, to learn things and move forward and progress and get something done. That's the best bet here, I think. Here's Mumbles with a dispatch.
Welcome back, Sean. Glad you're safe. As far as this situation, did you know anybody in school that you had an inkling about and you thought, well, man, there's something wrong. I do need to say something.
No.
But you didn't. And then something happened. Did that ever happen to you?
No. No,
I think that's all we can do.
No, I think a kid got stabbed at my school in some fight, but there was nothing like that, thank God.
I used to say that my nephew looked like a school shooter, but that was just because of his hair.
I hope you don't say that anymore. Dylan, I have to have some sort of talk with him, and I'm not saying school shooter hair.
Oh, no,
I'm just saying he needs a goddamn haircut. It's getting just out of control. And his Instagram posts are getting more and more concerning to me. But then I realize he's a 17-year-old kid, and I guess I just have to kind of deal with this as it heads my way.
Why are they concerning?
Because
he's still drinking bitch beer?
No, he had a photograph of some couch that he spray painted. And a lot of it, I just don't know exactly what the hell's happening in his world. So then I have to ask him, and becomes a weird conversation at that point. Let's go over to Wasted Semen with a dispatch.
Hey, y'all. Just wondering if you saw the Chris Rock special on Netflix. Any thoughts?
I didn't see it yet. I just heard some tidbits from it.
Haven't watched it at all yet.
I think it was released like just a handful of days ago. I've seen a few stories about it. I'll watch it for sure. I mean, I love Chris Rock. I don't know if he's still got it on the same level as he used to, but...
Does he get through the thing? That's what I want to know. Does he get through the thing without mentioning Biggie and Tupac? Because it seemed like every Chris Rock special on HBO...
You always talk about that?
Biggie and Tupac jokes.
I don't know. I don't know if he mentioned that. Here's I'm Not a Hippie.
Good morning, Junkies. Welcome back. Hope you guys had a great time in the Bahamas. We missed you.
Thank you.
But welcome back. I just renewed my subscription for Secret Shows, so
well,
I would definitely be checking out that new one today. And just wanted to say, have a great show, guys. Hippie out.
Thank you. I'm Not a Hippie. We appreciate that. The subscriptions and just listening and just bothering to pay attention, all that, very, very nice to you. Thanks for the support. The New York State employee that we discussed last week, who was caught on video by some other passenger on this plane, who was upset about being near a crying baby. And I think I have this just to bring you back if you didn't hear. I think this might have been it. Let's see. I don't know if you can pick anything up here.
He's not going to cry the whole time.
That's why they were moving her from the flight. I guess she was the last one to board that flight. Last seat was right next to this baby. She got pissed off and even threw out the "Do you know who I am? I work for the governor" stuff. And now she's been fired by Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. She was a $95,000 a year program director whose name and photo has since been wiped from the state council's website. You always look at this and go, you know, should this happen every time where you get fired and you get bounced out and your career is ended by one moment? I think we've all had these instances where you react in a way that you probably shouldn't have. And in this case, it gets caught on video, posted online, and your career is done, at least for the time being. I wonder how much, and even the woman who took the video is like, God, I kind of feel bad about doing this now that then this has been a firing. But don't shout out that I work for the governor, or do you know who I am? That's probably an important thing. Back with your final dispatches when we come back. Plus, Little Caesars is in trouble. Why? What happened there? And everything else. So today I learned all that stuff to wrap it up for a Tuesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Skirting the statute of limitations under a thinly veiled Mexican pseudonym. This is the News Junkie.
Well, now we're seeing videos, and I saw one of these, I think yesterday or the day before, of people who are destroying their weapons. In the wake of everything that happened here at this school in South Florida, cutting them in half, and there's a guy who destroyed his gun, a woman who destroyed her handgun is being interviewed on CNN right now.
Yeah, I saw some guy made his rounds on Facebook that he's like, I got the Second Amendment tattooed on me. And after seeing what had happened, I had told my wife and during Columbine that if it was, you know, one less gun that I'd get rid of mine, and 5 years later after this many school shootings, I need to actually go with my words, and he sought it right then and there on the video.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people coming out and doing that, I guess, as a response to all this stuff, and there's a lot happening, and there's going to be a lot happening over the next couple of weeks. I just hope it doesn't go haywire, because now any kind of conversation in this country has a real potential to go haywire, and then nothing happens. Nothing gets solved. And there are some things that could definitely happen here. A lot of people with questions and feedback and all the rest. Kathy emails tips@thenewsjunkie.com. And Kathy says, Sean, you keep mentioning that the FBI dropped the ball here. She continues talking about, you know, what I was saying about how they missed the tips and et cetera, et cetera. Her email doesn't want to load for me right now, so excuse me for not reading all the comments from Kathy. But the general idea was, what are they supposed to do? You know, what are they supposed to do even if they follow that down? And he goes, hey, this was just a troll and I was just screwing around. Even if they Baker Act him, somebody's out very quickly and then they can get right back to the streets. And yeah, I mean, I agree that, that's another issue. This is one of those things where we go, if we have all the information, we definitely had it here. The kids were telling the school, the kids were telling the principal, the kids and others out there in the world were telling the FBI. The only people who seemed to be caught off guard were the people, the couple that he was living with, which oddly enough was just some friend of the family that he ended up moving in with and staying with them and their son for a while.
Didn't both of his adoptive parents die?
They had died. The mother had died of the flu shortly before this whole thing happened. The father had died years ago of something else, a heart attack or something. And the new family that was housing him said they knew he had guns and stuff, but they didn't know he had a key to it. And they just seemed like the only ones really taken aback by what had happened here. But one of the biggest things you point out there, and I think an interesting thing that I started looking into over the last couple of days, is the Baker Act stuff. And you can have somebody who's got a real mental issue, a breakdown underway, and if they're not at home when they get arrested or if the police show up or if they just get Baker Acted without the police presence there, they won't even take their guns away. Now, if they, if the police come out of the house and they're told, hey, not only is this person a danger, they have guns, the police will take them. But there's really no universal protocol as to what happens next. Technically, legally, when they're released from the hold, they are allowed to have their weapons back.
Yeah,
these are some of the things that are weird.
They can only keep you for so long when they Baker Act you, right?
It's like 72-hour hold, I think. And when they do that, there just really is nothing hard and fast that suggests what you should do if that person has weapons on them. A lot of times when that breakdown happens, you get released, you go back home, and you go to those weapons. And let's be honest here. One of the other things that can be at least helped out by this is the amount of people who die from guns every single year is dominated by suicides. And a lot of these people who commit suicide do it because they can get quick access to guns or they have guns in bad times like that. And the fact of the matter is, if these people don't have the access to it, a lot of them won't end up doing it. You talk to people who are in those situations who somehow manage to survive, and they'll tell you that story over and over and over again. There's so many things. I mean, there's just so many different things that people can focus on. All while people are able to defend themselves, all while people are able to retain their Second Amendment rights, but hopefully something is done so that we can have a better system in place altogether. And there's not many people who disagree that there needs to be a better system in place. Let's see here. We got My P. Niss with a dispatch. Here you go.
I got my Matic stolen at Animal Kingdom Saturday while riding my Scoot EUV. Whoever got it, good job. Game of Magnets.
There you go. Thank you, and good luck out there in Game of Magnets. I almost went to Animal Kingdom yesterday. I thought, it's President's Day. A lot of people have off. It's just going to be flooded busy at the all the theme parks and stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking of going to check out the new water park at Universal, the Volcano Bay.
Yeah, I want to go there, too.
And my girlfriend was trying to convince me for us to go yesterday, and I was just like, A, I am sore as hell from the Bahamas, and B, it's President's Day. A lot of people have the day off.
You know what's so weird, though, about that place? What's it called again?
Volcano Bay.
The weirdest thing about that is every time I drive by on I-4, because they have the appointment system to go on the slides and stuff, you don't see a bunch of people waiting around, and it looks like the place is dead. But if you go in there, trust me, it's not dead. I mean, there's a lot of people going to that place, especially when you got a Monday and people have off. A lot of people ended up going to the theme parks yesterday. Here's Richard.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I happen to be out in Yellowstone as we're talking right now.
Oh, really?
It's pretty beautiful. Which kind of ruined my day, you know? I mean, for crying out loud. What if I'm here and all of a sudden it explodes, you know?
They'll have some time.
It's kind of messed up that you have to bring up some tragedy like that, Sean.
It's a super volcano.
It could happen at any second. You know what I'm talking about?
There you go. I didn't see it coming. Here's Dan.
Hey, junkies. You guys see NASA, though, is actually looking into boring into the or around the caldera underneath Yellowstone, and they want to try to make hydroelectric power and actually turn this whole scary, gnarly thing into a positive.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
Make power off of it and try to release some of the pressure. But they said if they screw it up, they're just going to blow it up prematurely and we all die anyway. So, anywho, check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, let's go ahead and stick with some of the other power-making ways that we have. Nuclear power, electric power, solar power. Let's not poke the bear there and mess with the volcanic power, because that could be really, really dangerous. Here's Harper's.
And then everybody would just blame Obama. You know it's his fault. The tweets would go out. Oh, my word. I'll bet you President Trump is tweeting now about 1,000 years from now.
The super volcano? He's got a lot of other stuff going on in his tweets. Over to Doug.
Hey, Sean. If you want to know what happened 64,000 years ago whenever the Old Faithful at Yellowstone National Park erupted,
mm-hmm.
Wait till 3 o'clock and ask Moira. I heard she was there.
Oh, God, dude. She is really the butt end.
Yes, of all the old jokes.
Of the old jokes on that show.
She's the Phillips Files you.
Yeah, but she's not.
You get the old jokes on this show. She gets the old jokes on...
You know what? I feel you, Moira. We both have to deal with that. I think maybe I'm not going to get it to the level that you just got it there, but fair enough. Here's Insecure Walrus.
Hey, guys. Living here in Nashville, everybody that you meet is a songwriter of some sort.
I think we did that. What didn't I get to? I got one more left. Here is Skid Brown.
So I'm up and down A1A all the time over on the coast, on the East Coast. And there's tons of people that love to ride their bikes up and down A1A, which is cool. It's a beautiful area to ride. There's actually a pretty big shoulder for you to ride your bike on. But for some reason, these wannabe professional bicyclists ride right on the line. Right on the line. Like... there's 3 or 4 foot of space that you could safely ride, but for some reason, they feel like they have to ride right on the edge of death.
Get along with the cyclist.
Like they're daring a semi to come by and just thwap them in the side of the head and just end it all.
The automobile and cyclist fight rolls on. It's never going to end, I don't think.
Sean, they're very annoying. They're begging to be hit by all the trucks.
I'll fight the dispatches. He can fight the cyclists. Different wars, completely.
I can't even make the pops that poppy.
When you got back from the Bahamas, did you have any difficulty not driving in that other lane when you returned back?
No.
Or did you not drive? Because I feel like if you were there long enough, like let's say maybe you were there for 8 days and you might get in your car, you might accidentally go into the wrong lane. If that were the case and you were... there for 8 days.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Sean.
It was very quick, though.
I did have a thing where
in the emergency or morgue?
I kept reaching for a turn signal arm that was not there on the golf cart.
Yeah.
When we were driving around the streets of
it's an adjustment.
Town.
I kept trying to paddle with my feet like the Flintstones because our golf carts combined went a top of, 10 miles an hour?
Made a lot of noise, too. What are those? Really just a whole bunch of noise. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ.
Yeah.
So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
Today I Learned for a Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. 7 stories from around the web and around the world, all that good stuff. Credit goes to reddit.com. The Today I Learned section over there. The score on the year, C-Lane 58, Sabrina 56. 4 opportunities, I think, hopefully. Let's get started. Today I Learned this band right here.
Nirvana.
Ooh, no.
Foo Fighters.
No.
Alice in Chains.
No. More religious.
Creed.
Creed is correct. Creed, the lead singer Scott Stapp, was in 1999 in a video with Kid Rock receiving oral sex on a tour bus. Stapp defended himself at the time by claiming he did not believe oral sex was actual sex. And in an interview, said, look, the video didn't have any sex on it.
The Clinton defense.
Yeah, it's not a sex tape. It didn't have any sex on it. 45-minute video of just that, though? It seems like there would be something on there. Him and Kid Rock have not spoken since the tape was recorded. Today I learned the Whopper Jr. was created by a happy accident in 1963 by the manager of the first Burger King in Puerto Rico. They didn't have the molds for the standard Whopper buns, so they did these smaller ones that they could get their hands on, and they were locally available. People absolutely loved them, and they made it a consistent thing on the menu. Then they said, let's do this elsewhere, and it ended up working out. Today I learned this alcohol.
Vodka. Tequila.
Jägermeister.
Oh, they just said it. Jägermeister is correct. Jägermeister became popular out of nowhere in the 1980s. How? Well, a newspaper article examined how college students in New Orleans and Baton Rouge all of a sudden took a liking to the drink because there were some folks from the home of the Jägermeister who came with this alcohol, and they said they thought it had more than just alcohol in it. They thought there was some other things in there, like some drugs, like, what's it called? What's the thing you put on the sugar?
Absinthe.
They thought it was sort of absinthe, and it became real popular because of that. And it's not. It's just actual alcohol that tastes terrible. Today I learned sperm cells can live up for 30 hours after a man has died. The sperm can be gathered and used for posthumous fertilization. A doctor who was about to do it said there's three ways to get this. Either we can just dig around in there, we can go directly for the area where we know it's stored, or we can manually stimulate the dead person until we get what we're looking for. They chose the going after the area where it's stored, so dead people can still give sperm donations.
They're not trying to handy the...
They thought about it. There was some consideration of that, but then I guess they turned around on the idea. Today, there's a special minimally fermented wine that's used at Catholic Mass where the priest is a current or recovering alcoholic. What's it called? Well, it's called mustum. It's a freshly pressed juice, usually grape juice, that contains the skin, seeds, and stems of the fruit. The solid portion of the must is called pomace. It takes up to 7 to 23% of the total weight of it, blah, 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 blah. What happens is it's not allowed to ferment, therefore this... For alcoholic priests, those have trouble with drinking, they can have this stuff. Mustum is what it's called. Today I learned this band right here. Alien Ant Farm is correct. The band Alien Ant Farm once crashed the third annual BET award show. Since it was the third annual, they only had one shot at it. With the police shutting them down, all this was to record a video with surprise cameos that ended up being one of their most popular of all time. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. And it's all right here on Real Radio.